Who's Afraid of Summer?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
No place to go, darling.
So, John DeCoss and Tim Banker for the New Year's Eve show, they found the video for this. And it's four guys scratching, old school scratching, like turntable stuff. It's pretty good.
Cool.
So, we'll run the video from now on.
Nice.
Good morning. Happy New Year. 608. Hi, everybody. And that was the Andy Mazur, who's in for Dave Ennett. Now, why can't Dave Ennett come to work? Not Dave, that I don't like seeing you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Dave is in East Lansing, Michigan. The itinerary from San Diego, California to East Lansing, Michigan.
Wasn't that everyone's dream, San Diego to East Lansing?
And I don't know if there's a nonstop or not, but I think he came back to Chicago and I was there for the basketball game tonight.
If there's a nonstop from San Diego to East Lansing, the person needs to be fired that
exactly
schedules
exactly right.
So the Northwestern Wildcats play whom?
They play Michigan State tonight, 7:15 pregame.
Hey, how about that Northwestern Wildcats football
team?
How
about it?
I look up New Year's Eve on stage, it's 20-3. I got to tell the crowd it's 20-3.
Oof.
They rioted. They were not happy.
Walking out, right?
They stormed the stage, yeah. Burning clubs. Next thing you know, they scored 28 third quarter points.
Yeah.
Did Utah actually come out of the locker room at that time?
Allegedly they did. I'm not sure if it was the same group that came out for the first half.
Wow.
But it was those dressed as Utes. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe the best third quarter in Northwestern football history?
That's what they're saying.
Gotta be, right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was 28 points.
That's what they're saying.
What was the final?
Yeah. It happened
in
a heartbeat.
They said on ESPN, on SportsCenter, they were like the best third
quarter.
It was 31-20. So
31-20.
Utah didn't score in the second half.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Just taunting them. Anyway, nice job.
The best part is they kept showing the Barry Sanders Holiday Bowl from...
Oh, yeah, from the early 80s.
Yeah, because they scored 27 points or something in a third quarter.
That bowl game there in San Diego has been epically known as a very offensive kind of a bowl game. They've got a lot of...
Not offensive, have, offensive.
Correct, yeah. Offensive, yeah.
That's because they're all relaxed. It's San Diego. They're having a good time. A lot of...
But the weather did not cooperate for them. Game time was like
enough,
56
though.
And a little rain.
Yeah, it was weird
weather
football.
In the Southwest. It was it was colder in Phoenix than it was in Chicago during the day.
Crazy.
Remember, though, when we were talking about Dave heading to San Diego, and I said that he was going to be on the beach, and he said, I'm going to work. Yeah, I'm not going to be on the beach. And then on Facebook, there's a picture
of
me and Karen Steve Ennett, his son, on the beach.
Here's the thing about my friend Dave Ennett.
There was a backdrop.
My friend Dave Ennett is desperately afraid someone's going to find out he's not working 24 hours a day. Just relax. Like today, for instance. We asked him to be on a show. He said no. So I think he's starting to get it.
Oh, my goodness.
No, Dave thinks, doesn't relax, I don't think.
He thinks ever. He thought that Fitz should do it solo. He was...
Well, I like that he's making a call on that. That's great.
He thought that would be more respectful. But he said he'd be listening.
Oh. Yeah, don't bother. It's fine. Coach Fitz at 7:40 this morning, as a matter of fact, to talk about that. Jeremy Colleton later to talk about the Winter Classic, which was somewhat less than that when the Blackhawks came out flat in the third. Their first two periods are great.
Great periods, Jim. Yeah.
And they played
came
well
flat
over
in the
break.
Third.
Too many penalties.
Yeah, it was a winning juggernaut.
Yeah, it was. I went to the game on the 27th against the Wild, and we took care of business. Hat trick for Patrick Kane.
You know, I hate to belabor this, but Cam Ward had, when they did the goalies at the beginning of the game, Cam Ward has a goal against average 390. So maybe he shouldn't even be
his
on
backup,
the team.
Who was on the Elia? Is it
Colin Delia?
Yeah, Colin Delia.
Delia was in goal. He was in net for when I was at the game, and he was tremendous.
Yeah, he's had pretty good games. Yeah, he's had three really
but
good games.
Had a good
he's
game.
The future.
There's a photo gallery at WGNRadio.com of all the Blackhawks fans at the Winter Classic.
Yeah, Ward is to defend Ward briefly because you know he's let in some bad goals, but he has not had a lot of help in front of him. Yeah.
No, they were like high power plays.
Yeah, and then the third period. Where was the energy? Where was the... You know what? Where was the urgency, as you people in sports like to say?
You have to come out with urgency.
Yes.
There's got to be a reason to
play.
So
that's frustrating. But, look, we just figured the math out here, and the Hawks need about 60 points in the second half of the season here in the final 40 games.
It's doable.
That is...
It's a lot to ask.
Well, you know, it's about 25, 26, 27 wins.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot to ask.
But so 40 games, 25, 26, 27 wins, they can absolutely do it. The question is, will they?
Yeah, I think a strong finish would go a long way. Just because...
That's not enough for me. I want playoffs.
Yeah, I understand. I want the playoffs, too. But in their minds, and I think in the organization's mind, that a strong finish would show that this was the right move to make and that we have some of the right guys in place.
Listen, that kind of rationalizing will take place later.
I need urgency in this.
We got a great MVPP today. I mentioned Jeremy Caldwell. Oh, Adam Hoge later as well.
Yeah.
Bears playoff game Sunday, 4 p.m.
Sunday.
How about that? With them Eagles. And Eagles are hot.
Yeah, Eagles are hot. Defending champs.
Nick Foles. I'll be the first to say, not interested.
Well, I hope you're right. Yeah. Mary Vandeveld. Is that a Vandeveld or Vandeveld? What is it?
How long have you known me? It's a Veld.
How was your break?
It was really good. Yeah. I was back on Monday. Yes, me and Dave. No, not Dave.
No, I was
Dave
here.
No, Andy was here. That's right.
But you had a nice break for a few days?
I did. I got to see the little grandbaby. I was off all week last week.
How's the growing bump?
What?
But you had another baby on the way.
No, it came.
And she can't she having him every 20 minutes?
No. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm looking at my, what?
Yeah, you have two now.
Yes, I have two little girls, two little grandbabies.
That's very cool. Mm-hmm. Very
They're
cool.
Very
you had a nice
cute.
Christmas? Great New Year's?
Did. Christmas was a whirlwind. Just too much going on. You know how it is.
John DeCuss, we held two for Vandeveld at the box office Monday night. Did she show up for that?
No, actually, I held 24.
Tough break.
I was at a friend's for dinner. I couldn't convince him to go.
She told me that Villa Park would probably show
she
up.
She couldn't convince... Wait, did you
City
hear?
City of Villa Park.
She couldn't convince her friend to go.
Well, we were ordering pizza.
I don't know. That doesn't... We were ordering pizza.
Yeah, you know what? There's literally... next door to the Tivoli is an Aurelio's. Next door.
I didn't know that.
We had Aurelio's backstage. That was the way we had
that
for
changed everything.
How was that not on the poster, guys? If you said next door
point,
to Aurelio's.
Well, yeah, if you guys would have told
there.
Me, I would have been there.
That's a good point. That's a good
like
point.
How pizza's a hook. How can you get pizza in Chicago? It's crazy.
And backstage, I sure would have been there.
Justin, how was your break?
It was good. It was good. It was a long break. Good to be back, though. I'm ready for 2019. Again.
12 shows, 12 days, actually, since we've done a show.
I know,
is that
crazy?
This was going to be a lot of rest on this one. Super Joe was out there with us. Thanks for that, Super Joe.
Yes, sir.
Was the crowd surly in the lobby, or did they have a good time?
Quite surly, yes.
They were?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't expect
I was
that.
A bit of an instigator.
Ah. He said, hey, you people aren't surly enough.
Did you wear your green suit?
I did not.
Oh,
Joe told me a story that this guy came in, and he goes, hey, is this show clean? I saw a 21-year-old, and Joe's like, well, yeah, it's clean. He goes, because I'm with three people. If it gets dirty, we're stand up and walking out. I'm like, well, enjoy yourself. And of course, Joe goes, I don't care. We already got your money.
Right.
Do whatever you want.
You already paid, right?
Yeah. So, I think I was the only one that cursed the whole night.
Classic. I think that's right. Yeah.
Couldn't keep the streak.
I was trying to work. Curse in there somewhere. I didn't know where it would go. Crowd had a great time. We had a big house, so thanks for everybody.
I want to hear all about it.
Showed up a little late. Okay. That was stressful for me, but that was
you were
good.
Late to the show?
No.
The audience
I
actually
was.
Scared John. I was there at 5:15.
Oh
yeah, I was
for a 7 o'clock show, much like this.
I didn't recognize him until 6:10.
Look, who's this guy?
Is Pete in there? Did Pete come back to work?
Yeah, he's back.
Hi, Pete.
Yeah,
he's back.
Pete, I don't know why I'm yelling. I have a microphone. Sandberg, how was your break?
It was good. Pete is the only person I think that's excited that the building still has their Christmas tree up in the lobby.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed when I came in and saw that tree. Still.
Yeah, so was I. I put all my decorations away yesterday. Done. Tree out the window.
What's up with you?
I had my decorations off and put away by 10:30 in the morning on December 26th.
Oh, come on. Well, that's a little
and
much.
I know that
she gotta wait till New
Mary
Year's.
Mary texted me a picture.
She put up a gallery of her personal life.
I did. I sent a picture. My Christmas is December 26th, and I can take all that stuff down.
Oh,
and it's away. And I dragged the tree to the curb, and our tree was the only one out there.
I look forward to seeing the x-rays of your heart growing three sizes.
I know. I mean, we have it up since the day after Thanksgiving. So.
Oh, that's, yeah.
I've got a tough spot here because of the schedule, and my wife went back to work today. She said, you can take down all the Christmas decorations today if you want. I'm like, that's a tall order.
If you want.
That's a tall order.
What kind kind of woman leaves it up to the man?
That's what
if
I
you
said.
Want.
I'm like, it's not going to be
it's
now.
It's not going to happen.
I'll get it in the bin. I'll get it in the garage, but it'll be next Christmas when it comes out. And she's like, what is all this? Why is this broken? I'm like, well, you told me to do it.
I want
to
find out how many boxes people have of stuff. Yeah. I have 11 boxes of Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
I try to beat that.
Do you know the number of boxes?
11.
No, like big Tupperware, you know, big Rubbermaids.
I have three big ones.
Oh, I have 11.
Tell me you can isolate that.
Yeah, we have 9.
For future reference.
John knows. John knows.
9 Rubbermaid. Yeah, we do. You're absolutely right.
9? That's good.
And we didn't even open them all, but you have to because you're like, did we put that in there?
Yeah, you don't know where. I have the stuff from work, too. Christmas decorations
from work. If you have a system, you know what's in every single bin. I can tell you at each bin.
You should do like a game show where you just see, you know, like Tupperware things you can't look into.
Yeah.
They're not Tupperware. They're Rubbermaid, right?
Rubbermaid.
It'd be funny if they were Tupperware.
It would be funny.
Yeah, little tiny Tupperware.
Yeah. We have 192 Tupperware.
One light in each one.
Yeah, right.
We'll get
Steve,
to...
did you take down your Christmas decorations?
No.
Will you be happy?
House looks fantastic. Maureen has an amazing touch at Christmas time, and she makes the house look fantastic. And as long as I don't touch any of it, it's great.
You got a month.
And it's fun for Abigail.
No, yeah. But he won't help. You're not going
to
help.
I'll help if she tells me to help. By that, I mean I'll go somewhere and hope she gets help. 6:18. We'll come back with the top six. What's coming up in the news?
Shooting.
By the way, Steve, how was your break?
Oh, thanks, Steve. Hi. My break was fine. Thank you.
What'd you do?
I was.
Did you go downstate? See your mother?
I did. I was visiting family for a week of my break and doing some home projects for the rest of it.
What'd you get for Christmas? Did you get like newsman
stuff?
Tell
them about your oven. We heard all.
Yeah.
No, I
didn't get anything spectacular.
Oh, did you get you got the gift certificate I sent you, right?
No, I did not. Where did you send me a gift?
This last year, on Christmas Eve, you should have received a gift certificate for your fancy new oven. See, there now we blew the surprise.
Yeah.
So check all of your emails.
I will check all of them. Okay. Would it have come from you?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll double check.
All right. What's up?
A shooting on the Chicago Expressway early this morning happened on the Eisenhower. We'll tell you about the investigation.
What time was that?
Probably before you got there.
Okay. Good.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't kick. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
January 2nd, 2019. Oh, happy birthday to my friend Craig. Today's his birthday. He's really old. If you are sending your check to the show for your annual subscription, remember to date it 2019. A lot of people still think this is free. We started charging. Yeah. Paperless. But happy new year to everybody. Hope you had a fine New Year's Eve. More than 250 laws take effect in Illinois today. Some of the new rules take on big issues. Safety of kids, sexual harassment in the workplace, synthetic marijuana. All the major issues. Another abolishes the task force on farmers markets that haven't met in 2 years. We're also going to search these 250 laws. And Steve, do you know if there's any goofy ones in there? Steve Grzanich?
Any bobcat?
I don't see him in the
related
seat.
Any pumpkin related? There's always something like that.
There's always a weird, a weird thing where
you cannot. What you cannot do is stare directly into the sun. If you do that, it's a $50 fine.
Next, People Mover, also known as the Automated Transportation Service, or ATS at O'Hare, has not operated on weekdays since last spring, but starting at 5 a.m. on Tuesday of next week, a weekend service will be suspended and shuttle buses will be used until train service resumes in the fall. What is the reason for its existing if they're not using it?
Well, it's 25 years old.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty antiquated. I don't know how if they're even it's set up anymore that you need to even use that thing. It was the old tram, right?
Yeah, but they're going to have shuttles, so they must need it still.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm curious if it's...
Wait, isn't it... this isn't the elevated train from the parking lots?
I thought it was, right?
Is that what it is?
Well, then how do you get from the remote parking lots to in? Buses?
Yes, there's going to be shuttles.
Okay, well, why do we have the train then? That's the part I don't understand.
Well, they're updating
I think the train costs too much money to update and keep it up to date.
So they just shut it down.
Wait, I think Justin's giving out fake news there. I think that they are updating it.
Yeah. It costs too much money to run a tram for a remote parking lot.
Well, no, we know what we need. It's like a $10 billion train from the city in some sort of Hyperloop situation that cuts 4 minutes off the commute to O'Hare.
They're going to double the capacity of the current system, according to the city's aviation department.
All right, there you go.
Lauren Huffman said that.
All right, well, now that we cleared that up, next.
Vice President.
I like mine better, Steve. I think mine makes
more
sense.
That it just costs too much money.
Yeah. Do you truly trust the spokespeople for the Department of Aviation?
I think you should have thrown in that there was an incident, and Bruce Willis is currently looking into it.
Right.
As it's snowing. Vice President Biden paving the way for a possible run. A former vice president expected to reveal any minute now whether he plans to make a third bid for the presidency. You know, we know people that know the vice president well. We should call those people. Remind me to do that at 10 o'clock and call those people.
I will remind you.
Is the world, are Democrats clamoring for a Joe Biden presidential run?
Yeah, because find somebody, man. There's going to be like, you know, these political geniuses don't learn anything. 22 idiot Republicans ran in 2016. How'd that work out? Who came out of that pack?
They got one who won, right?
Who came out of that pack? And in 2020, there's talk that you're going to have maybe even more. They're talking about possibly 24 Democrats. Ripping each other from shred to shred to shred.
Well, Elizabeth Warren came out, said she's running for president. That's kind of a no-brainer. But
everybody's talking about that. Oh, the Elizabeth Warren buzz is crazy.
Right away, like, you think about the names that have been thrown about. It stinks of, okay, these are names that are going to jump out front that are going to be forgotten or footnotes by the time we actually get to voting in 2020.
It's just stunning to me that you could have this long a run of Donald J. Trump, and there's not one great Democrat that's come out of this pack.
I will say this, if I'd like to be on record for this, that Mitt Romney doing the op-ed yesterday in the Washington Post, essentially calling out the immoral presidency of Donald Trump, sets the stage for what possibly could be a challenge for a Republican primary or a run as an independent in 2020.
Yeah, we'll get to that op-ed later on. Next. Speaking of Mr. Trump, he claims there's a 10-foot wall around the Obama's D.C. home. Turns out there's not. How really? Possibly could we prove that there's not a 10-foot wall? Oh, that's right. Let's go look.
What did he say? Calm down and enjoy the ride, haters.
Haters, calm down and enjoy the ride.
Everything I say literally.
So is that the wall he wanted? Is that the wall he wanted to build?
No, but here's the weird part. Mexico paid for the Obama's wall.
Okay.
Yeah, nobody saw that coming. And finally this. Mother gives birth to Cook County's first baby in 2019. It's her fifth but first daughter. Yareli Nava was born to Maria Ramirez and Freddie Nava of Elgin. A spokesman for Amita Health St. Alexis Medical Center in Hoffman Estates said the girl weighed 8 pounds, 14 ounces. Big girl, 21 inches long, and her mom is 23. Said she was in active labor. What, 23 with five kids?
Yes, holy look at that cow. List of kids. Look what she's got going on in her house.
23 with five kids?
Oh, yeah. Man.
So she wasn't even aware that Monday had turned into Tuesday, barely. It's her first girl, but she has five kids. Her big brothers are 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Oh, she better stay in the hospital for a while.
You know, here's my question. Dad needs to leave you alone for a while.
Yeah, Freddie.
Dad needs to get a hobby.
She also said they're not trying. They weren't trying for a girl.
Maybe try not
only have boys.
Is this a good birthday? Is New Year's Day to be your birthday? Is that a good birthday?
So you get free stuff.
Yeah,
if you're first.
Yeah. Good mattress sales.
Yeah,
Are people partied out by that point? They were like, "Happy birthday! Here's a card."
I think it's like a close birthday to Christmas, right? You kind of don't get your birthday. Yeah, right. You don't get credit for it.
I know the Christmas thing, but
you have to dig in early. I think establish it for your kid as this is going to be your birthday, not New Year's Day.
4, 3, 2, and 1. This woman's been pregnant for the last 5 years.
I know.
Here's a hug. That's a great family. You know, God bless her. Good for both of you.
Hope she has a lot of help.
And again, I'm reaching out right now to Freddie Nava. Leave her alone. Top 6 brought to you by American Weathermakers. We're back with more of what we do here in a moment.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Men.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
640, Happy New Year. I got some stuff to say about the New Year's Eve show. We had a great time. Thanks for coming out. But before we get to that, Illinois hunters can wear bright pink in the woods now.
Oh, yeah, I did read that.
Hunting enthusiasts in Illinois have a new wardrobe choice. In addition to bright orange, hunters can now wear bright pink. I didn't even know fashion was regulated in the woods.
Yeah, it was always orange. Only orange.
You could only wear orange.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of pink camo stuff. Just go to Cabela's or check out any of those stores.
But around the country, you can wear browns and like tans and things, which I always thought was stupid because you look like a tree.
That's not going to work.
Or a deer.
You blend in. Yeah.
You can wear pink now, but you can't bedazzle the pink. You still can't bedazzle.
What, like glitter or what?
Yeah, just a bedazzle.
There's a guy named Bob with a bedazzler as you enter the woods.
You have to show ID at the store to get a hot glue gun.
If you wonder whether or not we can get along, the bright pink bill passed unanimously in both state chambers.
Bipartisan.
Gee. It is designed, not surprisingly, to prevent accidents. Previously, hunters were limited, as opposed to, you know, for the runway. Previously, hunters were limited to orange hats and upper orange garments displaying a minimum of 400 square inches of orange. Who's in charge of that? Who's walking through the woods going, oh, Phil, we're going to have to measure your vest and your pants?
Did they throw a flag?
Why did I get a ticket? That's fuchsia.
I think it only got measured after the fact. Like, if you accidentally were shot, they'd say, hey, you only have 1 square foot of orange on or something.
So, like, if you're hunting with Dick Cheney.
Yeah, you can't.
Somebody gets shot in the
face. You can't hold them accountable then. Camo is very hot right now. Like, Lululemon has camo leggings. There's a lot of, I think Mary could probably.
Camo's everywhere.
Yeah, you can't get away from it clothing wise.
Well, just
camo's for
face.
Baby clothes. It's all over.
They did my colors, and camo's my color.
Now that they
my
know.
Prime color.
Pink camo or the traditional camo?
It depends on if I'm in the woods or not.
Yeah. Okay. Does that mean I can get my camo cargo shorts back out of the closet?
No, cargo shorts should never come out of the closet.
But they're camo.
I used to do a bit where I hit a guy in a parking lot. And he yelled at me, and he was dressed in camouflage. I go, hey, I didn't see you.
You just go around to different malls and do that bit?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I didn't see you.
It always works. Start of the new year, 19 states and 21 cities increase their minimum wage. 17 million people from New York to California get pay bumps. Additional minimum wage increases are possible this year, depending on what politicians need to suck up to which people. Remote workers who relocate to Vermont can apply for up to $10,000 from the state government just because they're there. So if you want to go work in Vermont, you can get $10,000.
Cool.
I was doing some research for the New Year's Eve show. Did you know that Vermont has the oldest combined senators in the country?
Really?
Yeah. Patrick Leahy's 109. And Bernie Sanders at 204.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. The snowfall in Vermont so far, or at least the back half of 2018 is ludicrous. It was like 30, 40 inches of snow.
Holy cow.
So if you want to relocate, remember that.
I looked at the extended forecast because I got that kind of time. And it is like 12 days until there's any significant snow even remotely expected. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be 50 by Friday here.
Yeah.
See you on the course.
Crazy.
See, so they're not paying us $10,000 to stay here, but there won't be any snow. So,
oh, we're not leaving.
Yeah.
We're going to go down with the state. Hawaii legalized medically assisted suicide. It's a big story, actually. Following six other states in Washington, D.C., Hawaii will allow doctors to provide fatal prescription medicine to terminally ill patients who make the request through, really a litany of red tape. But having said that, being able to decide when your life is over with medical supervision seems, it seems more than humane. So expect that to get some traction in other places. Ohio is requiring kids to learn how to write. Sandberg, you got to move to Ohio.
Because I still need to learn how to write.
Ohio decided that cursive is not obsolete. A law will require students to write legibly in cursive by the end of fifth grade.
Why?
Amen.
I'm so happy about this.
But why does it have to be mandated? I don't understand why Ohio has to get into the business of putting that on, saying we have to have cursive.
Because kids can't write. They can't write words.
Well, but the argument is not that has been thrown about. That the idea is that is becoming an obsolete form of, it's like Latin. You can have a class and you can talk about it. You can.
It's not Latin.
No, but the point being, it doesn't have any effect in there. If you're going to teach cursive, you're not teaching something else.
But you still have to sign your name on documents.
The physical ability to write your
Think about it.
Sign your driver's license
as an evolution. Okay, as a society.
Okay, you're gonna carry a keyboard around with you 24/7 with no exceptions.
I already do, Steve. That's what this phone is.
Not everyone has a phone.
But we're moving to that is going to be the future. I'd rather have a kid.
Wait, I didn't see your honer's manual. How do you know we're moving?
Every piece of technology for any kid.
It's a ridiculous argument.
2 to 10 years old.
It's a ridiculous argument that you're arguing against the ability to write letters.
I'm arguing against the ability for a state government to be mandate. If a school district decides they don't want to do it, they don't want to do it.
Are they just talking about cursive writing?
Yes.
You can't print.
No, they're also talking about Latin.
Oh, Latin.
Yeah, Latin as well.
We have an 11-year-old in our household, and any Christmas card that he received that was written in cursive, he verbally complained.
Because he couldn't read it?
Because he can't read it. He goes, why are they writing in cursive?
What do you mean he can't read it?
Ask him to make a capital Q in cursive.
Wait.
Ooh, that's
why can't he read cursive?
He can read it. It's just more challenging. Yeah, he doesn't like to. It's lazy. He wants to read the printed.
Well, there's an argument for me. I mean, that's it right there. The fact that you can't read the cursive writing because you're never exposed to it.
Right. But they don't have, he doesn't have, they have school-issued iPads. They turn everything in, typed in.
There's nothing. It's all typed.
Yeah. I'll see you guys when the cars start flying around, too, okay? peace and love, but no hotel room. If you're going to Woodstock for the 50th anniversary concert this fall, all the hotel rooms are gone.
Oh.
Everything is gone.
You probably have hookups, though, because you're from upstate New York.
Yeah, I know all the hippies in Woodstock. so I can get that done for you. And let me go to Andy Mazur on this.
Yes.
There's a White Sox story floating around this weekend that they may get nothing out of free agency.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Oh, is that a bad thing?
No, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I think it's still maybe a little premature. It's probably a year early to go that way. But at the same time, they do have the money right now. I think these free agents are going to sign with teams that are a little more established. Just kind of have that thought.
Now, I read something that said that a lot of those big teams, whether you're talking about the Dodgers or the Yankees, they won't pay the price that Bryce Harper or Manny Machado want. And the only team that can go, quote, all in, that's the article I was reading, are the White Sox because they have the actual money to pay what Bryce Harper's agents want.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the hands right now of two very stubborn and very conceited agents who are probably not looking out for the best interest of their clients. These guys have a feud.
But we've seen this before where major free agents wait and wait, and then the price drops.
Right. The price will drop.
A pitcher from the Chicago Cubs comes to mind.
Some guy named Arrieta.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some other guys that, you know, the thing, too, is one guy is not going to sign right away because he wants the other guy to set the market. So Harper doesn't want to go first because then Machado will get more.
Well, at this rate, they're both going to end up working for 12-5. I mean,
they're both going to be, they're both going to be in the minors. No,
now, today, this morning, Troy Tulowitzki, the all-star shortstop.
Oft injured,
signed with the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays shortstop, and that's where Machado plays. So the question is that say Manny Machado's not going to New York?
No, because...
Isn't Tulowitzki about 60 now?
He is about 75, and he's got the knees of an 80-year-old.
Yeah, but they only need him for a couple months till what's his name comes back.
Well, Gregorius is going to be out for a while.
He had Tommy John.
I'm not playing for the Yankees.
Yeah, and the facial hair thing—you can't play for them either.
Helpful texter sends us in. Dateline IllinoisPolicy.org. November 8th, 2017, despite the potential for imposing new costs on school district, Illinois lawmakers overrode Governor Rauner's veto on a bill mandating cursive writing instruction. Bill mandating cursive writing instruction in elementary schools becomes law in Illinois. I guess that would have been January 1st of last year. I didn't know that was existing. Did you know that existed?
I don't know.
Let me see here if I can reach the phone.
Wow, that was quite a reach.
Yeah, I know. Is this Joe?
This is Joe.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
Doing fine. You work in the school system where?
I work in Hoffman Estates,
all right.
District 54.
Do the kids need to learn cursive there?
The reason that we'd taken it away for a while and we've brought it back because they were saying that with the students, it's not so much writing it, it's that they won't be able to read it. So they can't actually even read the U.S. Constitution because it's in cursive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, there's no downside. There's no downside. You know, and if you can't find enough money to teach kids writing and the other stuff you want to teach them, then the school district has a problem.
Well, that's the issue, that there's not enough money to go around to teach every single thing, and I don't know what gets replaced if cursive has to be mandated from a state government.
Well, we're not talking about hieroglyphics here. We're talking about how people communicate still. So, Joe, are the people in Hoffman Estates, are they with you or against you, or where are they on this?
Oh, no, everybody's for it because you need to write cursive in order to sign a signature, too.
Right.
Otherwise, these kids are going to be printing their names on legal documents.
How do you make
honestly,
a T?
Though, hang on. A lot of their legal documents are digital. I know we sign everything.
This is the thing that drives me nuts. This is the no cash argument. Let the rest of the planet catch up to you two hipsters, okay? Because they're not there.
Hey, Joe, can I ask you a question? You said cursive went away for a while and then it came back. So what took its place and then what got bumped for that time
Semaphore.
In the classroom?
Do you know? It really was just more that they would be writing however it was. There's no formal education on writing, whether it be printing, cursive. It was just, you know, so it came back to because it was being brought up about that students aren't able to read cursive. Like, let's say somebody wrote them a letter, you know, someone like me that still uses snail mail here and there, they couldn't read it.
So is it just part of the English curriculum then?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
But this sounds like quill pens. Dearest Gwendolyn, I write to you this day. I mean, it's just writing.
But it was the big thing of that they can't even read their own U.S. Constitution.
It's insane. Joe, thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Appreciate you listening.
Are they going to take away the clocks with the hands on them? Because I don't think anybody knows how to read those either.
That's a good point.
Oh, that is a good point.
I'm already taking away those clocks.
I was going to say, they already are. I just wonder where we are in society where we may be seeing a shift or an evolution away from one form of communication to another.
No one says anything to each other.
There you go.
You greet each other in public and you text each other face to face.
But another texter is saying that it does away with their fine motor skills because they can't grasp a pencil or a crayon in their hand anymore.
But you could also
they just text.
Could also make a strong argument. If you go down that road, then you have to bring the other people in to say, you know, by not teaching people great technological skills and to move into a different direction, then they're behind the curve.
Why does it have to be either or?
Do both.
Because I just wonder, like, if there's going to be a dominant style of communication that the whole world uses, then you would want to teach that as opposed to something that you were taught 50 years ago.
You know, when robots take over, they will talk to each other in robot language.
No, I can't read the Constitution.
I still use shorthand. Is anybody else with me on that?
How do you read cursive?
Yeah.
I like to start a forest fire and then just let the smoke signals take it from there.
All humans die.
We're just going to evolve into a bunch of slump-shouldered cave people again. That's what it's going to be. But we're going to have really sweet iPads.
Nice.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Steve Grzan is coming up in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Stand by for that.
Why are you having to scoot over so much to hit the phones? What's going on over there?
It's just weird. I don't remember the spacing.
Like, did your arm shrink while you were gone?
Possibly. Ever since I stopped writing cursive, I've evolved. Louie, hi.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Good. You?
Alrighty.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, I also think it's really important to help teach us fine motor skills. And it helps make connections in the brain a different way.
Well, can't we have an app to pick things up with our fingers that we no longer know how to use because we don't write cursive? Isn't that all on our phone, Louis?
Patience on writing slowly to make it right.
Yeah, listen, I don't disagree. Thanks for the comment. I appreciate it. Let me get some textures
in here. I don't know if he's a physical therapist or a psychologist, whoever diagnoses or occupational therapist, fine motor skill training. But I believe we have other things to do fine motor skills that aren't just cursive.
Well, I think maybe we need to just take a breath and admit that while there's great advantages to the technological age in which we live, it ain't all perfect. Yeah. And there are damages that come from it as well, and those need to be addressed.
Well, let's take a breath then and say, I think the idea of teaching cursive writing is antiquated.
What's being replaced?
Well, what's replaced is that the whole world is moving. It used to be the way that we communicated was with a pen to paper, and now we have moved in the last 10 years to an automated digital communication.
Not even 10 years. When we were all in school,
80% of the civilized world has to know how to write.
Hang on.
Just because we own phones and iPads doesn't mean the rest of the world does.
Phones, when we started...
That's not true.
When we used to be little, we would print, and then we learned to write cursive, and when you did a paper, you wrote it in cursive. And then we all had to start typing in like third and fourth grade and typing and turning in our papers because it's easier for your teachers to read, I assume. We've been typing and digitally doing things forever. This isn't like it just happened in the last few
years. It's not just America. It's the rest of the world, too.
I know.
So when you fly to, you know, you're going to travel as an adult and you end up in, Botswana or whatever it is at that point. Maybe you might have to learn how to write. Maybe you might have to learn how to write at that point. I've always told Ross this. I go, well, what if you're a hostage? What if you're a hostage and they take away your phone? How will you write help?
You would tap like John Boyling did. Tap, 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 tap.
Ridiculous.
Tap.
630, screen time alters children's brains, not in a good way, perhaps have the researchers on sometime. to address it. 630, I just wanted to make a comment on kids learning how to write cursive. It's not just the ability to write, it's the ability to hold something in your hands. That's the fine motor skills argument. 630, cursive is good for younger kids. Helps them express their thoughts easier. Thoughts flow. 630, not trying to be mean or snarky, but the cursive argument you're having is dumb. Okay. 847. Now, this is a ridiculous argument. Kids need to learn to read and write cursive. 847. Our kids in Catholic school, they teach cursive starting in the second grade. 847. Motor skills. 847. As a teacher, the downside of teaching cursive is that it takes away from the time learning more important things, especially in low-income areas. Also, it takes 5 to 6 years to learn cursive for kids, but an adult could do it in an afternoon. If a person really needs to read the Constitution, maybe wait for them to graduate fourth grade first. First off, I'm concerned that as a teacher, you're saying if a person really needs to read the Constitution, I would hope that reading the Constitution might be somehow a part of your life between 0 and 18.
You don't. You only read the first time you read the Constitution is 7th, 8th grade. Wasn't there a test you had to take in 7th or 8th grade?
7th grade, I think.
Okay.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah, 7th grade.
Constitution. We're so much better off now.
It's not like in 1960 we were reading the Constitution when we were 7.
Okay, I wasn't alive in 1960.
No, but I'm just saying, like, that's never been a thing. It wasn't until you were a teenager that you started
That's not true.
It is true.
Well, it may be true for you and the rest of the degradation of society.
What was the class called? Government? Intro to Government
civics,
or something? Civics.
Government.
7th or 8th grade that you had to take it? I think you had to pass a test to show you were a true American.
I had the entire Constitution memorized in kindergarten.
Schoolhouse Rock, baby.
We need to make an app to translate cursive. That would help the kids. Hey, yeah, that's the way to work it. Hi, Steve. I taught Constitution. I'm now retired. A number of years ago, this is, by the way, a 6-reel. I showed my students a webinar for the National Archives. They told us these people are copying documents into print because students can't read cursive. I wrote to Arne Duncan, who was then Secretary of Education. It was a sad time. Go cursive. 6-reel, what's next? No more math because we have calculators and computers. Yeah, well, math's just getting in the way.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
There was a time, you know, when we used to do that complicated math and we had to do it by hand, and they said you couldn't bring your good calculator in for a test, but now all the kids have to have that calculator for testing.
I'm just waiting for all of us to get barcodes, because that's working out well at Juul when you check out and the guy goes, like the kid that tries to unwrap the thing that's not hitting the barcode scanner right over and over again instead of putting the 12 digits in.
Yeah.
That's good times.
That is fun. I always want to. I'll enter it for you.
More lemonade for the front porch. 702. And it's news time right now. Steve, you're standing by with that.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
The cursive or no cursive fistfight continues. 224, state of Illinois requires a non-digital effort when applying for a marriage license, requesting copies of birth or death records, registering to vote, when voting, or signing candidate papers. We see many people who have to practice their signature before signing the documents.
Mm. Well, that's funny. Why would you practice? Because if you do it wrong, somebody's going to say that doesn't count as a signature.
But the thing I don't understand is why you two are so vicious about this. Because it's vicious. What I think is you have to have both.
Yeah, I agree.
Until you don't have one. If digital evolves to a point where cursive is no longer needed, and by the way, it's not going to be in the next 25 to 50 years, sorry, because it's going to take that long for the world to catch up. But if it evolves, great. But you do need to have the ability to do both. Look, you are 27 years old.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to be 43 very soon.
And you produce this show, and I always have to call someone at the University of Chicago to read any handwritten notes you give me because I can't make them out.
Right. But I was taught cursive and taught printing.
So what, you're just bad at it?
Yeah. No. I think, yes, I am. I am bad at it. I always have been.
But you don't like it.
Oh, well, no, I don't mind writing. I do a grocery list of whatever. I've never...
Yeah, but you have handed me notes where you can't read your writing.
I know.
You look at it, you go, I can't read this.
But that has been since my whole life. So
this has nothing to do with this.
In third grade, my Mrs. Mason said that handwriting, this is what she told my parents, handwriting isn't, it's not like you get good at math. It's just you either have it or you don't. That's what she's, because they were frustrated with that we couldn't read my handwriting. And that's what they said. But I'd still write, and I'm not against writing. I don't even care.
I get excited when you hand me a note and it's good letters.
I know when we bought our house.
That's a B.
Your daughter's buying a house. She's e-signing everything. Is all my. You know, it's. Right. I'm just saying, it's not a. Ooh, Steve just got the all-important Diet Coke delivery.
During the midterm election last year, people's ballots were tossed aside because the signatures didn't match. Because the signature, they either didn't know how to sign their name or it looked different. So there are some places where signature does matter.
All I care about in this, and really the other argument about whether we need to be taught cursive or not, I'll take a pass on that. But the argument of having a state government mandate what should be taught in the schools, I think it's a slippery slope, because we have people who are educators who are paid very well and do a lot of studying to decide what we should be taught, being taught in schools. So the idea that some state senator is like, I think it should be cursive because that's what I was taught, seems like it's antiquated.
It all flows downhill. Federal money goes to state money goes to schools as well, and so the state does have some say. And I agree.
I don't want them being the ones that has the say.
Bill,
right?
Yeah.
What do you got, man?
I went to school in Indiana. In fact, I went to the Indiana School for the Blind.
Okay.
And the third and fourth grade, typing was mandatory. Cursive writing was mandatory, even though you couldn't see. You still had to learn to write the letters of the alphabet in cursive, and you had to be able to sign your name.
All right, well, let me ask you a stupid question, because I don't understand how that would work. If you're legally blind, how are you able to form the letters where you could see if you were correct
direct you to learn how to do it. They'd direct your hand so you got the coordination right.
And then you repeat the motion, so you would...
Right. Your brain gets the... gets it in your head, you know how to do it.
Yeah.
Well, even though you can't see it.
When I was in high school...
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it. Thanks, Bill.
When I was in high school, we had one typing class, and it was on an old typewriter, and we had to learn how to do, you know, how many words per... And that's how you passed. Yeah. And I feel like going back, I wish, because it was right on the cusp of the change in the way that we communicate, I wish I had typing one, typing two, typing advanced typing, all of that, because that would be more important to me as an adult than cursive.
The textures are funny. 608. I agree with Steve. Cursive is important to learn how to write and read. Not every legal document is digital. 708. Cursive is antiquated and useless. I can print faster than anybody can write in cursive. Only difference is mine is readable. 312. And now we discuss the metric system.
Yeah, what happened to that?
There was a point around 1975.
Yep. Yeah. We were going to go to the metric.
It was absolutely going to happen.
Yeah.
Kids, be ready. We're going all metric Friday.
I was scared to death because I did not understand.
What does that mean, all metric? I don't know what that
kilometers,
means.
Kilometers.
Millimeters.
Liters.
Centimeters.
Kilograms.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no more rumors.
Now, we should say drug cartels did adopt the metric system.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at least they were advanced.
That's true.
262, Sister Mary Josephine taught penmanship in second grade. I was waiting for the rest of that text to be, and I still flinch when she comes near me.
Right.
All right, I'm trying to scan these as fast as possible. When does our new text program start?
I'm not sure. They said in the new year, but it looks like it's still the old one right now. The somebody said, doesn't anyone write thank you notes anymore? I write thank you notes all the time.
Yes.
Whether people can read them or not is a whole different story, but I write them. We make our kids write them.
I make my kids write them still.
Yeah, my mother has made that a part of her life, and it's cool. I mean, you get her a handwritten note now, it's like, wow.
And after you write it, your arm hurts.
Yeah.
You're like in pain after you write a letter.
Now, we're all sports nuts here, and Andy Mazur, mm-hmm. this applies to you, obviously. 630, and they're using Sandberg as an example. What happens if Sandberg's kids become famous athletes, entertainers, authors, or whatever, and are asked to sign an autograph?
Yep.
Hold on a second. Let me get my iPad out.
Yep.
Do you have your mobile printer with you so you could print this, or should I just email it to you?
You said he's 11 years old, so let's say he's a famous athlete in 10 years. I think that there would be different ways for them to be able to do the classic autograph than the way that they've done it in the past.
Like what, a sex stamp?
I disagree with that.
No. A stamp, an emoji.
There's no value in that.
My only thing is
there's no personality in that.
I hope 10 years from now we are not still on this same subject.
Be a digital
subject. Most valuable person on the planet coming up.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
722. Steve Gazanich, is there something going on with the weather?
Steve, there is a winter weather advisory, some freezing drizzle and freezing fog out there this morning in the area. It's going to make travel hazardous. We're already seeing that around O'Hare Airport. I was actually just checking radar, increasing in intensity from the southwest to the northeast, it looks like, this morning as we go along. So places like Joliet, Aurora, and moving into Mount Prospect and over toward Chicago as we move through the morning.
Mitt Romney did an op-ed that is creating a lot of political talk today and said in part, "I'm balanced. Trump's conduct over the past 2 years, particularly his actions this month, is evidence that the president has not risen to the mantle of the office." And it's a little bit of a redo on the speech he made prior to Trump being nominated in 2016. But it does appear, and Justin, you brought this point up earlier, mm-hmm. that he's either setting up a run against him.
Or he's going to be a vocal critic, right?
Or he's going to be the guy that Jeff Flake didn't fully realize and right. be the guy that takes on Trump and
now, the
tries
question,
to develop
the question,
cause
you
a middle ground.
A Trump campaign staffer come back at Romney. It'll be interesting to see what the president does if he goes loser.
Has he tweeted yet?
I don't think he has on Romney, but I'm waiting for the loser tweet.
Yeah. I mean, he's been sitting in the Oval Office tweeting since Christmas.
Dangerous, right.
Day 12 of the government shutdown today?
Yeah.
I think that's right. Day 12 of the government shutdown. And one of the major problems, 85% of the government's funded, but the 15% that isn't, it's a problem. And the TSA, for instance, isn't getting paid. Over the busiest time of the year, they had to do their job, not knowing when they were going to get whole. The National Park System, which I don't think much about in the wintertime.
Terrible story.
But the park systems, people are fighting over campsites. They have tremendous problems with trash because trash isn't being removed. And
bathrooms.
The bathrooms are beyond usable.
So people are going in the woods,
and
they're having to shut that down. It's something you don't think about, but what a terrible story, because it just seems like people recognize that nobody's minding the ship, so they're going crazy. I mean, there's stories of like knocking the gates off. They don't want to pay whatever. They just knock with the car.
Plus, it's worse now because of the new law. They're in pink when they do it in the woods, so everybody can see them.
Got a tweet from Trump. Here we go with Mitt Romney. This is Donald Trump's text or tweet situation.
Oh, this morning?
Last 30 minutes. Here we go with Mitt Romney, but so fast. Question will be, is he a flake? F-L-A-K-E. See what he did there? I hope not. Would much prefer that Mitt focus on border security and so many other things where he can be helpful. I won big, and he didn't. He should be happy. You know, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You won fair and square through the Electoral College. You lost by 3 million votes. So maybe you stop bringing up how big your win was.
And also
move on since it's 2 years ago. That's another thing.
To say that Mitt Romney lost at a different time, in a different place, and against a different opponent seems like it's apples and oranges.
And here's another example of the president not getting it. He should be happy for all Republicans, be a team player, and win. No, we don't need every Republican or every Democrat to fall in line behind whoever's in charge. It's not how it works. And again, the House and the Senate do not work for the president. The three co-equal branches. I've got to get him Schoolhouse Rock. I meant to do it at Christmas time. It's 7:25. I'm going to go to the phone here. Dr. Mary Joyce Goldberg is on the phone. Good morning.
Gomez.
What did I say?
Hi,
Goldberg?
Good morning.
I'm sorry.
That's my fault.
I'm sorry. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys? Happy New Year.
And to you. Thank you for being the most valuable person on the planet. Are you up to this task of being the most valuable person on the planet?
I can try.
that's all we ask.
You do some dental work that is on the south side of the dental clinic, serving some of the most vulnerable patients there are. Explain.
Yes, so we are here at St. Bernard Hospital, like right in the Englewood area community.
Sure.
And we provide dental services to the most vulnerable, which are the kids, the children, adults living in poverty, and those with special needs, those with physical limitations, medical limitations, psychological and emotional limitations that limits them from getting the dental care that they need.
And the thing is, we know that your dental health is literally the doorway to the rest of your health. If you have bad dental health, you can get sick for a number of different things, can't you?
Oh, yes. And, you know, they have researches are out there correlating diabetes with periodontal disease and also with heart disease. So this is something that we need to look at.
It's very important. And without you doing this work, I don't know that these folks that you're serving would have other avenues, would they?
Yes, yes. We're really. I feel like we're like a beacon of hope and light in this area.
That's why you're the MVPP.
Doctor, you know, when it comes to impoverished neighborhoods and dental care, is it a question that poverty means that they can't pay for it, they don't have the health care, they don't have the money it takes to keep it up? Or is it about education? The fact that I know from when I was in grade school, the dentist would come to the school and there would be all everything put on you have to go to the dentist regularly. So how much of it is education? How much of it is just they can't pay for the dental care?
Well, I think it's multifactorial. Well, education, like you said, is a factor, because most parents and patients, they don't know where to go, and they don't value the importance of dental health in relation to their medical health. Plus also, because of poverty, it's not really, for adults, yes, they really can't pay for the services, but for children, they have insurance. But then the parents don't really have the time to take their children, because, you know, there are other more important things to do, go to the job. They don't have means of transportation to take their kids to the dentist. So all this play a role for them not to access care.
Dr. Gomez, thank you for the work you do. As you say, it's not only the teeth, it's the people that can be cared for here. We need to care for them, give them what they need, and also a little bit of hope. It's a very important thing you're doing. And, you know, it's not just Inglewood. There are poor folks all over, and I hope other dentists are taking up this task as well. I know it's a small community, like any particular business. So I hope you're leaning on your colleagues and saying, come on, I can do it, you can do it.
Yes, yes.
You know, with regards to the special needs community, I did not know until I'd seen this story that not every dentist will even see special needs patients. So there is no other place
special
to
school.
Go. Yeah. So
Dr. Gomez, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Happy New Year. And Texter writes, oh my God, as a dental health care provider and a member of the Academy of Oral Systemic Health, thank you for having this guest as your MVPP. Bravo. Well, there you go. Thank you for that. Nice job, as always. Pete produces the MVPPs. He gets a kickback on all of them.
Mary.
Oh, is this yours?
I booked this one.
Yeah. Right, well, there you go.
How did I know that? I know that from the body, the posture.
You think
this changed.
Rolling of her eyes?
Pete is
she
amazing, but I had to take over that task for that whole week he was off, ahead of us being off, and it was quite a task.
It was just so funny to see the body language, the huff, the I can't believe Pete got credit for my work vibe coming from across the table.
If I was going to lose credit to anyone, I wouldn't mind.
It looked like I actually had started the first fight between you two in 10 years or however long you've known each other. John.
I just wanted to say, because I was, you mentioned the Donald Trump thing about, it says Donald Trump became president, although he received 1.74 million fewer votes than Mitt Romney. Votes than Mitt Romney won.
Right.
Not only are you the musical director, you're the fact check here.
No, I'm sorry. Statistician. I apologize. Anyways, cursive writing.
Coming up, New Year's Eve went well. Thank you for that. Justin keeps giving out a lot of money to kids all over.
No, not me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is other people? And we got a Hawker Riddle coming up
Coach
for Hawks
Fitz. Coach Fitz.
Yes.
Coach Fitz coming up. Not
Holiday
just once,
Bowl
but twice.
Winning Northwestern football team.
Coach Fitz will join us after the news. And Coach Colleton after 8:30. Adam Hogue after 9 on the Bears. All coming up.
For the first time, the Northwestern Wildcats have won back-to-back-to-back bowl games. They have beaten the Utah Utes in the Holiday Bowl. It's all over. 31-20. And the Wildcats with a comeback to remember.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
So I'm doing a New Year's Eve show. I walk out on stage and announce the score. It says 20-3. I like where we got these guys. We got them right where we want them. I look up, and it's 31-20, a 28-point third quarter.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. The obvious question, I only wish we had Coach Fitz here so I could ask him. Hi, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. The obvious question is, what did you say at halftime to shoot those guys out of the locker room like a rocket?
You know, you got a pen and piece of paper?
I'm going to write it down. Go ahead.
I didn't say anything. No, we just talked about, you know, going out and playing our game. We just made a bunch of mistakes in all three phases, quite frankly, which was a little disappointing because we practiced so well, and I thought the guys had prepared really, really well. And so very calm, just very matter-of-fact, talked about a couple adjustments we wanted to make. But more importantly, let's go execute. Let's get a stop here where our defense went out first, get some momentum, and then let's get a score. And that's exactly what happened. And then you could just feel the momentum shift right away.
Do you ever allow yourself to feel like, yeah, we don't have it today? Like with 30 minutes to go, do you ever go, you know, we're going to make the best of this, but it's not going our way? Do you allow yourself to get in that headspace?
No, I'm not. You know, I don't think I've ever felt that way in any game. It's actually the other way around. It's, you know, there's too much time on the clock. You know, we would love to have hit fast forward when we started the fourth quarter.
Sure.
Just because we had so much momentum. But, you know, it was a great night. It was a really interesting night, too, because the weather was so picture perfect all week in San Diego. And it was an awful, awful weather night. Maybe the worst night that they've had there in months.
Well, Andy, you lived out there for years. Yeah. Did you see weather like that?
Usually it didn't happen until January or February.
Yeah.
December was kind of early.
Yeah, everybody was shocked at the way that the weather turned. And I think it was a bigger factor than we thought it would be. You know, when we saw that the forecast changed to potential rain, you know, I was talking to the Holiday Bowl folks, like, it might just rain for about 5 or 10 minutes, but it'll be okay. It was cold. it rained almost the whole second and third quarters, and then it opened up again late in the fourth. So, interesting night, but just so proud of our guys, especially our seniors. What a great run they've had, and just so thankful for them.
Hey, Coach, Happy New Year. Congratulations again. A great game. And, you know, you mentioned the seniors, and one in particular, Clayton Thorson, your quarterback. Can you explain how much he has meant to this program and just setting the bar the way he has?
Yeah, I don't know if words can describe him. You know, I think he's outside of our program. I think he's really underappreciated. But inside our program, you know, he truly is the guy that set the standard here for, you know, his career that I think every quarterback to follow will truly have to, you know, fight to live up to. You know, the work ethic, the leadership, the toughness, you know, the fancy business word now is grit, you know, all those things. You know, he embodies what's so great about college football. He's so humble. He always worries and concerns more about his teammates than he does about himself. And I thought he was really good, you know, in the Holiday Bowl. It did not go well early. There were some things that we just did not execute. He was a small piece of that issue. And, you know, he and I, you know, we had a little moment where we were sitting down talking on the bench. I said, how are we doing? What do you think? Where do you want to go? There's some issues that you want us to change. You know, and he looked at me. He's like, no, we're fine. We'll get this figured out. And, you know, to his credit, he was really calm. And, you know, I think that presence, I think, really helped. And then he played out of his mind in the second half, which anytime your quarterback does that, it gives you a chance to win. But he's going to play this game for a long time. You know, Mick McCall gets, again, I think he's underappreciated, you know, the development of our quarterbacks that we've had, you know, as our offensive coordinator, quarterback coach here over the time that Mick and I have been together. It's been really special. I'm just really thankful for him and Joanne and, you know, the way that he's really done a great job for us.
With the Holiday Bowl win, with the winning the West for all of the I mean, just the amazing wins that you had this season and the opportunity to play in the Big Ten Championship, where does this season rank in your experience with the Northwestern Wildcats?
Well, it was awesome. It was a lot of fun. I mean, it's you know, every year is a new and daunting challenge. You have 25% of your team that's you know, graduated, and you know, 25% that are freshmen that are absolutely clueless. So, you know, you got a lot of work to do every year. And you know, this group faced a ton of adversity. And it wasn't a huge senior class either, but it was a very, very successful senior class, and one that made a huge impact. And so, you know, as I really, you know, haven't had a ton of time to reflect, we just got back late last night. And, you know, it's been a long season. But the adversity that this group overcame, it goes back to the way, you know, that they started last offseason. They were very focused. There wasn't one day that I had, you know, really get upset with them because they weren't practicing hard. And, you know, I think about a guy like Mike Hankwitz, our defensive coordinator. This was his 49th year coaching.
Wow.
Amazing leadership in our coaching. And, you know, the way that our defense played all year with the amount of new faces that we had in our secondary, and we had a bunch of injuries. You know, we don't have Andre Hardage and Nate Hall and Jordan, you know, Thompson in the game. Those are three great players for us. Nate and Montre didn't play a bunch. So the job that Hank did this year was maybe his best in the time that we've been together just because of his patience and his willingness to be flexible. And then we had two new coaches on defense with Timmy McGargle and Matt McPherson. So a lot of work that was put into this year. And I think our guys saw the reward. You know, we didn't play great every game, and that's going to be the next challenge. We've got to start faster. We can't allow the season to get off to the start that it did this year, but the guys will learn from that. We'll get better.
Coach, you were talking about the seniors, and I know that it's not the end of the school year, but it's the end of the football season. So how do you start cutting the cord with those seniors right now?
Don't look back.
Is it too hard, or do you hang on to them till graduation, and then you get your heartbreak then?
Yeah, no. You know, Thursday of game week is really, of bowl season, is really an emotional practice for me personally.
I'll bet.
It's the last practice that you have with the seniors, and we've kind of created a tradition where we have like a little tunnel that kind of is a clapping tunnel, saying thank you to those guys as they walk off the field. And, you know, it's tough. It's really tough to see those guys move forward. But that's, again, the great thing about college football is you start relationships with these guys 15, 16, 17 years old. And then 4 or 5 years later, you see them become the men that they're capable of. And that's what our program is all about. So, you know, when you get our program, you get us for life. It's something that's it's a forever thing. And we're just so grateful and thankful for them and for their families. And, you know, the biggest change will be for them. You know, they now have to embark. If it's the NFL, we believe we've prepared them and they've put the work in for that. But that's plan B. Plan A is life. And we believe we're the best developmental program in the country. And these guys will all be successful. They'll all be ready to be gainfully employed here quickly. Some guys already have job opportunities. And, you know, other guys are going to wrap up their undergraduate dorm. A big group of guys are going to be wrapping up their master's. Here is the winter and spring quarter comes to an end. But just so thankful for those guys.
Talking to Coach Fitz, amazing comeback. And, Andy, I believe I'm right about this.
Uh-huh.
Single quarter record for a bowl game, 28 points?
28 points, yeah.
And
pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing.
Coach, you mentioned adversity, and I want to go back to a name and find out the impact that Jeremy Larkin had on this team. I mean, he had forced to be retired, and you didn't hear his name a whole lot, but I know that he was with the team. And what kind of an impact did he have going forward from that day that he had to retire?
Yeah, you know, an emotional roller coaster for Lark. You know, it was, you start the year, you know, he was obviously, I think everybody saw the football player that he really, you know, is and will always be, you know, in that Purdue game where it was like, whoa, look at this guy. Here we go. Hey, Justin Jackson, great career. But look out. Here comes Larkin, you know. And it was devastating. And for a number of weeks, you know, I think he was able to kind of still stay in the euphoric state of the way the season started. But then we took a little bit of a break. He refocused on school. And on himself, you know, because it got really hard for a little while and it's still going to be hard. But then, you know, Lark was able to get back and get engaged, really the last month of the season. And it just, his smile, his passion, for our program, his teammates, and he's going to be incredibly successful, whatever he chooses to do. I'm trying to recruit him to become a coach. I think he loves the game, and I'd love to have him be a part of our staff once he's done with school and become a graduate assistant and get him going. But if it's not, you know, coaching, it'll be whatever he chooses to be. And, you know, I'm sure the Wildcat Nation, if he chooses not to be a coach, will want to, you know, have him be a part of their companies and organizations, just like I do with all of our seniors. So just so thankful for him. He's a great guy.
All right, Coach Fitz, the question on everybody's mind, because NFL insiders have linked you to the Green Bay Packers coaching vacancy as a candidate. You have connections there, but also other coaching opportunities. What do you say to the rumors about being linked to NFL franchises such as the Green Bay Packers?
Well, you know, first of all, I really don't
believe in talking about rumors. You know, it's humbling anytime. You know, people outside your program believe that your program is being run the right way. That's a testament to the program. Our coaches, our support staff, our, you know, our entire organization, the way we run the program from A to Z. You know, it's 365. And so I'm very proud of what our program has been able to become and what we're all about. And, you know, you can't control those rumors, but you can just control your commitment. And I think we've been pretty steadfast in our commitment to the university, and we feel the same way. So, you know, it sure beats the alternative, I'll tell you that, because, you know, Monday is we're getting ready to kick the game off. There were a lot of families that you know, found out that they're out of work. So
sure,
you know, we're very happy to be here, very honored to be here, and very excited about the future, and you know, look forward to just continuing to build and grow the program. We're far from the finished product, and that's the direction that we definitely want to go. We want to continue to make playing in Indianapolis and winning that game and being Big Ten champions a standard. And you know, we got over a big hurdle this year, but we got a long way to go.
You know, you mentioned Green Bay, and you mentioned bad weather. The weather sucks unbelievably in Green Bay, Coach. I'm not just trying to, you know, make sure you stay around, but you thought the weather was bad in San Diego. Green Bay, oh, you don't want any part of that. No part of that. Meanwhile, Justin Jackson had a great L.A. Chargers run. He's headed for the playoffs. Clayton Thorson's going to get looked at by an awful lot of people. Do you guys talk about that before the end of school?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that I think are going to get a shot. We've had, you know, more guys this year in the NFL than we ever have. And I think that shows where our program's going. It starts and ends with recruiting. You know, we've just got to continue to add just the depth that you need to have to be a championship-level program. You have to have competition. You have to have depth when there's those starts. And I think we've been really trending in a really positive direction, upgrading our talent every single year. And so I look forward to watching these guys take the next step that are seniors. Yeah. And our guys that are in the league right now, you know, they're having great years. I mean, it was probably, you know, from a production standpoint, the NFL, one of the more successful years we've had. We had Sherrick playing for the Bears, who were fired up for him. And obviously, Coach Nagy and everybody this weekend, and Anthony Walker down with the Colts.
Yep.
You know, good. The list goes on and on. You mentioned Justin, Kyle Cabo down with the Cowboys. You know, there's a bunch of guys that are playing. Just Brandon Peters with the Texans. We got a bunch of guys in the playoffs this weekend and matched them. So we just look forward to watching them all win, and hopefully one of those guys be Super Bowl champions. That would be awesome, especially Sherrick. I'm a little biased. He's the oldest guy, so
sure.
It'll be great.
By the way, I got a drunken call from Dave Ennett celebrating. You know Dave. he reminded me that he did the call on October 7th, 1916, when Georgia Tech beat Cumberland 222-0. And he said he hadn't seen a game like that since then. 63 points in the first and second quarters, 54 in the third, 42 in the fourth for 222 points. He was so excited. He just talked it on and on. I set the phone down, Coach. Hour and a half later, he was still talking about you guys.
Oh, geez. You know, well, the good news is he was on the call prior to the game, and you weren't. And, you know, we've kind of seen a little theme here of who needs to be on the call prior to a game. And, your impact is becoming very insignificant.
It's just bizarre because every time I get to the airport for the team plane, you guys have left 20 minutes before. I don't know. I got to pay more attention to what time it is, but you always leave me the time, and I don't know. It must be on me.
Yeah, that, or you might want to figure out that we're giving you the wrong itinerary.
What?
That's okay, but, you know, maybe.
What?
It's called awareness, brother. And it's
outrageous.
You're lacking in that department.
Just outrageous. Thank you, man. Congratulations.
Thanks, Coach.
Well, I appreciate it. Looking forward now to basketball season. We got some big ones this week.
Yes, sir.
And, thanks for an amazing, amazing year. As always, always fun being with you guys. And to all of our great Wildcat fans, thanks for the amazing support. Have a great new year. And let's go win a Big Ten championship here in 19. So thanks a lot. Go Cats.
There you go.
Go Cats. There you go.
Do you know that Coach Fitz can't finish a sentence in his normal life without saying go Cats? Did you know?
That's great.
I loved after the game when he was asked about the coaching rumors, and he said the word hashtag.
Yeah, the hashtag.
Go Cats. Hashtag.
I was in line in the, right behind him at Jewel. And they need to be a price check. He said, price check, go Cats.
Hashtag go Cats.
I think Andrew says a prayer like, amen, go Cats.
Amen, go Cats.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, the amen's first. It's fine.
Like the last two words of take me out of the ball, give her a play ball.
I will say this. The idea that a Northwestern Wildcat head coach for football would be the hot ticket, yeah, the name that everybody wants, that the Green Bay Packers
pretty great
want to coach, yeah, that says something about, he's right, that says something about their program.
Yeah, I think he's staying. And I certainly hope you stay.
Yeah, I get that impression, but again, you know, I mean, it's sometimes you get an offer that will certainly help your family out, and you do it.
Oh, if I had a nickel for every time I turned down an offer that would help my family out.
But I think he does bleed purple, and that would be it would be a shame. But
weather sucks in Green Bay.
It does.
Yeah. It is 7:55. John's going to give away Hawks tickets in a second. Steve will be in the Northwestern Medicine newsroom, and we'll be back in a second. John Acosta, musical director for the Steve Cochran Show, and cruise director for Carnival Cruise Lines. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't know that. No.
John is here with a Hawker riddle for Hawks tickets for what game?
This will be for January 7th, the Calgary Flames.
So you give us a riddle, and it's not like the riddles you get up and down the dial. This is a John DeCause riddle. You'll give us a riddle, and the first correct answer to what you're riddling about will win these tickets.
That's right. I'm a little concerned today because I wrote this out in cursive and I can't read it.
Who can't read
it? It's understandable.
So we'll see what happens.
312-981-7200 is a number. Oh, and before I forget, thank you to Apt Electronics and Steve Shapiro.
Oh, huge.
What was the name of our winner?
Pamela Skinner
won herself a washer.
She was great.
I always wanted to give away a washer dryer.
Nice.
Gave away a washer dryer.
What?
Yeah.
A life goal.
Yeah.
You gave away the washer and dryer that we were trying to give away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know which one she picked?
No, I was hoping you would help her shop.
She actually came on stage and cried. She was that emotional.
I would have cried.
Yeah. I would have, yeah.
Oh, I would have maybe changed my plans if I knew a washer and dryer was going to be given away.
I thought about that, but then I thought you might rush the stage.
Yeah.
And Pamela Skinner, if you're listening, I emailed you. Email me back. Thanks.
Okay.
It's like a Paul Harvey moment.
Make
partly
it happen.
Personal.
Okay.
What did she have to do to win? Sorry.
Everybody was eligible.
Everybody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Everybody in the whole world. And we picked her name.
There is nothing better than a new washer and dryer. Nothing.
That is so good.
All right, what's the riddle?
The riddle is, George Stanley to his family, but Papa to all, he played out in Hammond until Decatur gave call. 6 times he won trophies, coaching teams to number one, and it took 44 years until his coaching was done.
Mm. Is it Coach Fitz?
I don't know. It's in cursive.
Okay.
You can't guess, Steve. You're not eligible. Not
I know what the answer is.
I do, too.
312-981-7200 is the number. First correct answer is the big winner of Hawks Calgary tickets. And it's news time now, and then Dean's coming up. So stand by for that. Oh, we got to talk, too, about the New Year's Eve show. Thank you again for everybody that came out. We had a great crowd. We had a great night.
So much fun.
Those Four Seasons heating and air conditioning people are so nice to give Hawks tickets away.
Oh, they're tremendous folks.
And they're also going to give them great away partners. On Roe and Anna's show today at 4:40.
Is Ro giving away a washer dryer? I don't think so.
No, because he doesn't do a stand-up show, though, either. I'm so jealous that she's getting a new washer and dryer.
Yeah.
I just want to see it. I don't even...
I did volunteer that you would be her consultant.
I'm happy to consult. Yeah. I have a lot of thoughts. I will say, if you want to use powder, don't get the charcoal gray machines. Because if you use powder, you can see sometimes dust. Just, I'm going to give you that tip.
That's
go
a
with
tip.
Like eggshell.
Pro tip.
Yeah, pro tip.
Pro tip. It's news time now.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
Dean Richards, live at Channel 9. Good morning, my friend.
Nothing could be more exciting than hearing an auditorium full of people singing that song, standing on their feet.
Yeah, screaming your name.
Bic lighters
during
going.
The entire show. Dean, 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 Dean.
That didn't happen, but it would have been exciting.
Would have been exciting.
Had it been.
We had more fun backstage than we did on stage.
We did have fun both in front of and behind the curtain.
Great.
Were you
crowd.
In a baby New Year's outfit the whole time?
That was Rocky. Rocky Laporte dressed that way.
Yeah.
He was in a diaper.
Hey, what are you looking at?
What, have you never seen a man wear diapers?
That's pretty strong. But thank you for coming out, Dean. That was great.
Oh, it was so much fun.
Yeah, we had a good time.
We had a blast. So many nice people that we met that came out to the show.
And I turned around after the show. I turned back, and Dean's hugging my mother. I go, what's going on here? What's happening here?
Making a little time with her.
It was so funny during the show backstage. Dean would come up to me every once in a while. He goes, I'm just letting you know, Rocky had four waters and three pieces of pizza.
I was keeping track. I didn't know if that got deducted from.
We had five guys on the show. Six, maybe. I don't know. We had five total, or six people. Five or six people backstage. The entire backstage compliment, including all of our roadies. Eight people, maybe total.
Yeah.
Eight.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had 47 pizzas from Aurelio's.
We could have fed the entire audience.
There was a bag of candy, which I couldn't help but open. I opened it, exploded all over the backstage.
He did.
Everywhere.
During the show, he'd do like, and bam, they're all over the place. Yeah. By the way, I have all of that candy in a separate bag that I'm bringing to you. So no, I don't want
it. Swimsuit season.
Save it for Halloween.
we had a fine time, and no one was injured in the filming of the show. And everybody seemed to have a good time. Well, one texter. Everybody but one texter had a really good time.
What did the texter say?
The texter didn't think the show was funny.
Oh. No.
But I give them credit for staying the entire time.
Whatever. They said they weren't sure if they thought it was funny, and they asked if they should just adjust their expectations.
Yes.
That's what they said. So.
If there at any point you don't find me delightful, adjust your expectations.
Dean, you should use that more in your reviews. Adjust your expectation.
Right.
Just thanks. That's all. Did I miss anything other than thanks?
No, it was. Okay. I'm so glad that Dean did it. So thank you again, Dean.
It was a lot of fun. The people at the Tivoli were wonderful.
Yep.
Downtown Downers Grove.
Nice.
Could it be more charming?
A lot of restaurants.
The marquee was cool. Yeah. Yeah, Justin, so cool. I saw you commented on Instagram.
Yeah, just the way they had a Cochran show. It was cool.
You know what's funny is we did a tech rehearsal on Friday. Yeah. And in stand up, a tech rehearsal means, is there a mic?
Yeah.
So we go by to do the tech rehearsal because the year interview is kind of convoluted. It takes a while. But we go, and I pull up, and I get out of the car, and on the side of the marquee in kind of drunken letters, it says, Cochra. New Year's Eve. And you look down and the end's falling on the ground.
I should have got a picture of that.
It was supposed to say okra.
That was the omen, but it worked out great. So anyway.
Cool.
Speaking of stand-up, Tiffany Haddish ate it over the weekend.
Yeah.
In a big way. Dean will talk about that. Taylor Swift is in the news. Madonna's in the nude.
Whoa.
Really?
What is this, 1991?
Hey. Whoa.
Of course she's nude.
That's nothing new.
Pete Davidson. And
they all had New Year's Eve shows.
And Dean's top 10 movies of the year.
Yeah, I've got my top 10 up.
All right, so just to get to that. Dean just is a texter from the 630. Dean just explained four waters. That's why Rocky was wearing a diaper. It had nothing to do with New Year's Eve. Texters are getting it done.
Rocky had four waters, three pieces of pizza, and about seven Reese's peanut butter cups.
This is how much this show has changed in 18 years. Rocky's probably done the show, three times?
Three times, yeah.
So 18 years ago, we would have been sitting around talking about all the exciting things we're doing. Last night, Rocky was sitting backstage. He goes, or Friday, or Monday, whatever it was. Said, you know, I got a stint in my heart, though.
I know.
And he goes, Steve, do you take any medications?
That's what he asked me.
Yeah, that's weird. Sitting around talking about
99% blocked.
Dean, how you doing? How you doing with your health and everything?
You know what we're going to get for next year?
Mm.
Those recliners that actually, they're electric and they help you stand up. It's 8:17,
like,
and
you get those little carts, those carts they have in grocery stores.
Yes,
those to move around the stage. It's a big stage. It would be helpful to have those little zip carts, whatever they're called.
What a cool theater!
Like
too.
A Rascal.
Yes.
Like
a Rascal,
that.
But motorized. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a surprise to us at the end. There's a piano that comes up from underneath the stage.
Organ.
An organ. Sorry, it comes up from underneath the stage and Kiss. Was there? It was Kiss. The entire band was on it. It was around the organ. It wasn't really worth the effort. No, it was good. It's good. It was really good. I love that theater too. Tivoli,
cool man.
Gorgeous. Very cool. Texter.
Organ comes out of the stage.
Wait, what are we talking about?
For those of you that are editing pieces of the show out for your own amusement later.
Yeah. 630 Texter says. You guys were all terrific. We needed the laughs. You guys were just what the doctor ordered. Third year there at the Tivoli. Officially our New Year's Eve tradition. Thanks. Somebody, by the way, somebody was there who's been to all 18 shows.
Holy cow.
Yeah, and by the way, I haven't.
Wow. Yeah, that's right.
I missed two of the 18 shows. One night I was terribly sick, and the other night Amy was on her way back to college. Yeah. She had a car accident, 2 hours before the show.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The 1 year you did it, but you had to sit because you were also sick.
Yeah, but I didn't get to the hospital till the next day. Yeah, because the show must go on.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
One of the sicknesses of show business is, Dan, you and I were talking about this backstage. You never focus on all the nice people. You focus on the one person who takes a shot, right?
Yep.
So in regards to the texter, 815, I think this texter is very smart. 815, the listener's expectation should have been set when they purchased tickets to a show featuring YouTube morons.
Yeah. Moron entertainment.
Paying attention. We delivered like what we...
As advertised.
As advertised. Yeah. Truth in advertising.
The morons will be the next big event, the Moron Awards.
Oh, yes.
But again, so far all we have is an idea. That's going to be cool. And a logo coming from another one of the most, Brad Most. All right, so Tiffany Haddish, what'd she do?
Well, she did stand-up in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's a very funny woman.
Her stand-up can be very funny, but apparently she was... Apparently the expectations were not adjusted properly for Tiffany Haddish. She started talking about her mother getting out of a mental institution and her sister who was broke and like one depressing thing after another. The crowd starts booing her.
Happy New Year.
And then people started, you know, getting up and leaving in the middle of the show. So after the whole thing, I mean, apparently the whole thing was a train wreck. And afterward, she tweeted, "Yes, this happened. I wish it was better, Miami. I prayed on it, and I have a strong feeling this will never happen again."
Yeah, it's a weird move because if you have any experience on stage, generally speaking, when the audience starts booing,
she knows how to do
it. You change the act, you know, you adjust.
She had on Instagram a video from the morning before saying she partied all night, and it was like she was showing everyone, like, look, it's daytime now, and I just partied all night. So maybe that gives you an idea of where her headspace was.
There's a lack of respect for the audience.
Well, and can't you, though, have you ever been in a not a great spot when you have to do something, and then
I've been on stage in not a great spot.
And one person sets you off, and you just get sucked down that where you like almost self.
Wait, are you talking
about
this show?
No.
Okay.
But you know, like you're already in a bad spot, and then it gets worse, and then you just dig in and go worse.
Yep.
Because it's like
no, but I can tell you, you've been on stage a million times. You've been on stage a million times. When you can't bring it on stage, you just can't.
Yeah, you got to follow.
Unless it's an energy you can use.
Haddish can't bomb anymore, right, Dean?
You got to leave it off stage, but also, I mean, you know, talking about her mother getting out of a mental institution and these depressing things in her family that you know she probably thought I can turn this into something, and it just never went anywhere.
Hmm.
You know,
it's weird.
That's that may be you know part of the deal.
Taylor Swift.
Also had a big New Year's Eve bash.
She's not funny.
She is not intentionally. She's not. But she had a costume party with some of her famous friends. Blake Lively was there, who was Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz.
I love Blake Lively. She's great.
I do, too. Taylor Swift was Ariel from The Little Mermaid.
Was Abigail Grace there? Sounds like a party she might enjoy.
The theme of the party was your childhood heroes.
Yeah. Oh. The pictures are great.
Are we theming New Year's Eve parties now? That's the thing?
Seems like the theme ought to be it's New Year's Eve.
Here you go, Steve. I get it.
People dress up and they do top hats and stuff. I guess it has been themed before. But the idea, I saw a lot of this. This is a big celebrity thing where it almost becomes like a Halloween party.
It's a terrible idea.
I'm excited. She has a Netflix, her Revolution Tour, the Netflix thing dropped on the 31st, I can't wait to watch Taylor Swift.
The picture looks like a bunch of high school girls hanging out for dress-up time.
Yes, yeah. And then in one of the pictures, there's Ryan Reynolds sitting in a chair drinking gin.
You know, this is one of those Hollywood couples where, and I don't get invested in these things, but I hope they don't split up because they seem very funny together and very happy together. And, you know, I like to have that dream that they're always going to be together, Dean.
Cute as a button. My times that I've been around them, they're adorable together.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good to hear. I love hearing.
Are we talking about Taylor Swift? Taylor Swift and Ryan.
No. Blake Lively.
It's kind of like first I've heard of this relationship.
So Madonna.
Madonna spent her New Year's Eve at the Stonewall Inn in New York, the famous gay bar where the 1969 Stonewall riots took place, kind of launched the gay rights movement. She appeared on stage there with her 13-year-old son, who played acoustic guitar for her while she sang Like a Prayer and Can't Help Falling in Love, Elvis's song Can't Help Falling
in Love. She just did a couple songs?
Just did a couple of songs.
That's a pretty small place for Madonna to be in.
I think so, yeah. Pretty intimate room.
Is her son talented, Dean?
I did not see any video of that. I only saw...
funny if the kid couldn't play. Plonk, 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 plonk.
That's what you got to love that about New York City, that you can go in any random bar and then, Madonna's going to get up there and do an acoustic Like a Prayer.
I was thinking about this over the weekend. I don't know why Madonna was in my head, but is she 62 now? She's over 60, isn't she?
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Pete Davidson?
Pete Davidson did his first public appearance since that cryptic social media message that he put out
a
couple of weeks ago that where he hinted at a possible suicide. He did a couple of sets in Boston, and he talked about his mom. He talked about Ariana Grande. He talked about a lot of things. But I thought the most interesting thing that he talked about was Louis C.K., comedian Louis C.K., who he said tried to get him fired from Saturday Night Live because of Pete Davidson smoking pot. And Louis C.K., the pillar of morality, as we now know, apparently objected to Pete Davidson smoking pot and tried to get Lorne Michaels to let him go.
Well, the story as it goes is Louis C.K. in front of Pete and some other people on the show. It's very small. 30 Rock, where the Saturday Night Live offices is, you'd think it'd be some palace. It's two hallways, incredibly small. People are always running into each other. And he goes into Lorne Michaels' office with a door open, and he's standing in the doorway. This kid's going nowhere. This kid smokes too much pot. This kid. And he obviously held a grudge. Pete, I'm talking about.
Yep.
The joke he said on stage, which I'll paraphrase, was hilarious. Did you hear
that? That was good.
Yeah, it is funny.
I got a Harry Potter tattoo, and then the next day, Snape died. That's, I thought it was coincidence. Then I got a Willy Wonka tattoo, and then Gene Wilder died. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. So I'm thinking about getting a Louis C.K. tattoo.
Pretty strong.
What do you guys think?
Pretty strong. Louis C.K. and
Louis C.K.
Over the break, what did he do?
Yeah, he didn't have a great weekend. He did his own show in which he made fun of the Parkland massacre victims because there's nothing funnier than making fun of dead children.
He is a bizarre, dark, extremely talented dude who seems to be on self-destruct like full time now.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
That's been his thing, though, right? I mean, he's done a lot of stand-up in his career.
True.
It's been really on the edge, and we just didn't know about it, or he refines it in the clubs, and he gets it to a point. So I don't think he's given that space anymore to do that, right?
I think it was always that way, but it's gotten it's gotten worse.
Dean, what do you make of that Kevin Spacey thing?
I was just going to bring that up. There was that weird video that came out on Christmas in which he did his character from House of Cards, implying that nobody really knows the truth about him, the character, but it's so clear that he's talking about himself. But the other day, we were talking about where is Kevin Spacey. Turns out that he was in Baltimore this whole time, his million-dollar condo that he's got there. Photographer finds him. Kevin Spacey goes to a Domino's Pizza and buys one pizza for the photographer, brings it to him, and says, I know you're only doing your job. Stay warm. Stay warm. Happy New Year.
That's bizarre. Two appearances he's made since the incidents were revealed were the weird cooking apron thing and buying a pizza for a photographer.
Oh, and he's wearing a baseball cap on the pizza thing. He's wearing a baseball cap that says retired since 2017. Which was the year that all the sexual allegations came out.
And Dean, I think you saw him backstage. He dropped off two of those pizzas.
Maybe. You know what? It's a fair point. Maybe that's what he's doing now.
Speaking of backstage, the photo gallery from your New Year's Eve show will be up in just moments. People will be able to go to WGNradio.com, Steve Cochran Show Facebook page and Twitter, and you'll be able to see all the hilarity that ensued. There's some pictures here, Dean, where you look like he's commanding the stage.
Yep.
Look at that. That's Dean was all in.
Well, you can't get within Dean's arm reach because when he starts to do like his tribute to Robert Goulet, he can get smacked right in the mouth.
Right.
Also, Madonna is 60, just saying.
60, okay. All right, top 10 movies, number 10.
Hardly even talked about my Don Quixote tribute that I did.
I wanted to make that a surprise.
My Man of La Mancha tribute.
Yeah, it's really sweet. Top 10.
Top 10. Number 10 was Mission Impossible Fallout.
I like that movie.
The Tom Cruise movie. Hey, he's, you know, a lot of people think he's completely nuts.
He is nuts, but he's a great actor.
He is a great actor, and he makes great action movies. Number 9, Mary Poppins Returns. I watched it again last night with some friends who hadn't seen it. I liked it much, even better the second time. It's a great movie musical. All good. By itself.
All right, number 8.
The only documentary on the list, Won't You Be My Neighbor?
I loved it. Absolutely loved
Fred Rogers. Number 7 is the John Krasinski, Emily Blunt movie, A Quiet Place.
I didn't watch it because I hear it's really good and really scary, and I don't like getting scared when I'm alone.
It is scary, but what this movie does with virtually no dialogue is stunning. Number 6, Avengers Infinity War.
Very entertaining.
Very entertaining. I gave number 5 to Black Klansman, the Spike Lee movie with John David Washington. Number 5 is the Alfonso Cuarón movie, Roma.
Okay.
Number 3, Favorite, The Favorite, with the spoof British period piece. Number 2, Black Panther. And number 1, A Star is Born.
That's interesting, yeah, because number 1 and 2 on most lists I've seen are one or the other.
Yeah, well, they're both amazing movies. For my money, A Star is Born, it's got it all. It's got everything.
Yeah, it does.
The production, the music, the acting, the directing, everything is there.
I hope Lady Gaga does some more acting. I thought she was great.
I have no question that she will. And Black Panther, it was a great comic book movie, but it pushed the envelope in front of and behind the camera of diversity in filmmaking, and that doesn't happen. So it was a remakable landmark.
And it was all shot in Wakanda, right?
In Wakanda, Illinois.
Yeah,
that's right. They had Lake Bluff. At first, they were going to do it in Lake Bluff. But it didn't work as well when you know, like pounded your arms on your chest.
It would have been funny if they went with Kenosha or something else.
Kenosha.
Wakanda kind of works. Thank you, buddy.
See you tomorrow.
That's Dean back with the, do it right now.
To Brinken, Hawk line left wing. Rink wide pass, now Saad over the Bruin line. The right wing board for the high slot. Shoots, hit the post. Oh, man, he came so close.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Wait a minute.
Well, the Hawks, you can't argue at this point. The Hawks are playing better. Didn't get it done again. You know what I feel for? I'm going to talk to Coach Carlton here in just a second. Some of the coolest swag has come from these games.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking you can get deals on all of them now.
I think you're right.
Remember the cool jacket, the coat, I should say, from the Caps game? It was like a red, white, and blue leather situation.
Like a Letterman's jacket.
And yesterday, those sweaters were fantastic. The black and white, the old school 30s black and white. Coach Carlton looking good in his coat. Do you wear them?
Do you wear them after?
Yeah.
Oh, I think so. Like, I always see Doc Emmerich.
We don't remind you of a tough day.
That's true. But it's a good looking fashion thing.
All the Blackhawks staff were wearing the winter classic version of a jacket.
Yeah.
And it said Chicago on the back.
Those
and
are
then
very
it had
cool.
that cool, whatever the logo is for that. It was.
I just like the organization to know I'm up for one from each year.
One for each year.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Coach Carlton.
I have to say, probably the best looking coaching staff.
We have a good-looking coach
in the NHL.
Well, Coach Carlton played for years, and he's young enough to play right now, so he looks better than all the other coaches. Of course, it's a little uncomfortable for me to compliment how handsome you are and then say good morning, Coach.
Yeah, you put me in a tough spot there.
Listen, first two periods I thought were great. Third period, there seemed to be a lack of energy. Did I misread that?
Yeah, well, I don't know what it was, if it was a lack of energy or just we just had a dip after we had to kill all those penalties. I thought, we get through that, we do a great job to get out of that little stretch. We were, short two men, and then just took us 3-4 minutes to get playing again, and that was too long, and they made us pay for it. And as you say, the first two periods, especially the second period, I thought we were excellent. Unfortunately, we didn't get out of that second period with the lead, because I thought we probably played well enough to deserve the lead.
Yeah, very annoying late goal.
Yeah, yeah, and those things tend to come back to bite you. You know, it doesn't mean going into two. I still felt like if we play the same way, we play the same way in the third, we're going to win the game, but we didn't. And sometimes that's what happens.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. 3-2, and Kaner hits the post. Yeah. I mean, an inch to the right, that's the tying goal. He hits the post, now you got to pull the goalie. You pull the goalie, they get the fourth goal, and then it's good night. But that's hockey. You know, and the phrase puck luck comes up, and you haven't had much of it.
Well, I think you make your own luck. For sure, you know, things could have bounced a different way, and we win the game or tie the game. But as I view it, if we put, you know, close to 60 minutes together playing the way we did in the second, you know, then we win the game for sure. And so that's what we have to do. That's our task, is to take luck out of it, take randomness out of it. That, as you say, that's the game, that's hockey. There's bounces, there's one way or another. But, you know, we want to play so well that it just doesn't matter.
Coach, 76,000-plus there, the largest crowd to ever watch a Blackhawks game and the second-largest crowd to ever take in an NHL game. I know it didn't turn out the way you guys wanted it to, but just to describe the atmosphere and what it was like out there at Notre Dame Stadium.
Yeah, it was great. It's, you know, you definitely don't know if you'll ever be a part of something that cool again. You know, special venue, of course, with the history of Notre Dame, and you know, just the fans, and you know, mostly our fans. And it was pretty neat when you know, our guys come out and there's the roar of the crowd, and so that was special. And I think the guys did get energy from it. We our start, the first couple minutes, it felt like we were still enjoying the atmosphere as opposed to playing the game. But I did think that we played really hard, and hopefully the guys can look back on it with some memories despite the result.
Coach, I'm sorry. Did in the beginning there, when they were doing the warm-up, the leprechaun, he tripped on the ice?
Yeah.
Oh, you totally wiped out, yeah.
Were the players laughing down there? Because I wasn't quite that close, so I couldn't see.
Yeah, everyone noticed. I felt bad for him because I probably that guy normally doesn't skate with a leprechaun.
Thinking that's probably true. Yeah, without a doubt.
So put him in a tough spot.
Now, Sandberg was there. Sandberg, you should put a photo gallery up.
I have a photo gallery up at WGNradio.com. And it was a home crowd. I mean, when they introduced the Boston team, it was like, yay, yay, yay. And then the Blackhawks. And then that anthem, I don't know about you, Jeremy. You've been there for a lot of anthems. And it always sounds good when he does the anthem. But that stadium and his anthem yesterday.
You talking about Cornelison?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I guarantee that was the best version of an anthem. That was the coolest thing to be a part of.
Sure.
Like, it was incredible.
Big fun.
Yeah, it was pretty special.
Coach, on this program, we were talking a lot about how you play against division rivals. And we talked about this earlier in the month, and you had the stretch coming up. The bulk of the wins that you just had in the later part of this month were against division opponents. What does that say about the team, that you stack up well against teams like Nashville and Minnesota and the like?
Well, I think it's a positive, first of all, because you play most of your games against those teams. But I think we all agree we're in a pretty strong division. And the fact we've been able to compete and get results against them, I think that says a lot about where our game's at. You know, it seems like think we're getting the bounces or whatever it is against those teams. But we just want to put a string of good performances together, and we feel we'll get our points. And last game is another example where I think we had a good performance. We didn't get a win, but if we do that again and even a little bit better, then we will get our points. And I think that's what we've been doing in division. And so it's nice to see them get paid off for that.
If you look at what's left of this season, and you know you got to get to about 95, 96 points, the uphill climb is pretty daunting. This is why you play them one game at a time. But you got the Islanders and the Penguins on the road, and then the Flames and the Preds and the Golden Knights here next week in a nice little homestand run. Are the boys having you know, the right mindset going into these games?
I think so. I think we've had a good mindset of just staying in the moment and not looking too far ahead. If you stare at the standings long enough, you get pretty depressed. So let's not do that, and let's just focus on the next game. And it is a cliche, but sometimes that's why these little sayings become cliches, because there's something to them. And we do got to focus on what's right in front of us and just win one game. And we win one game enough times, and the standings will look better.
The thing about hockey, too, you know, win a shift, win a period, win a game, win another period, win a game. Andy,
games within the games. Coach, I know you had some experience with Colin Delia before this year, and the way that he's played in his first few games. Is the plan still to kind of bring him along a little bit and put him in situations where you feel like he's better served to play that game?
Well, we don't want to overload him. I think he's doing such a good job and really giving us a chance every night. So we want to play him as much as we can while allowing him time to prepare to play at his highest level. And that's a bit of a balance, but as he goes, as he gets more comfortable, and if he continues to play as well as he has, then he'll demand more games. He'll demand a heavier load, and he's done that already. So that's sort of the approach with him.
You're 2 months in now. Are the kids giving you any advice on coaching?
Like my kids?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, what an interesting answer. Are they grounded?
Yeah. No. No, but especially my six-year-old Ben, it's like every time I come home, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? You know, who's the goalie going to be? Why don't you play these two together? And
oh, that's funny. That's
like a second press conference when you get home, huh?
It'd be funny if they got a podium set up for him. Yeah. I met your parents at the Hawks Christmas party. Seemed like lovely folks.
Okay.
Were they all there at Notre Dame, all the big family?
No, my parents weren't there. They went back. My sister's actually a coach too. She coaches at university in Calgary. Okay. So they went home. But my wife was there and my kids were there, and so that was nice. They enjoyed it despite the loss. I had to apologize to them too when we didn't win. But they'll get over it till the next game.
Your 6-year-old's going to start making you run laps.
Yeah, he is. That's kind of how he's. That's how he's approaching it.
Listen, great talking to you. I love your perspective on this, and we're going to try to be patient as you win one at a time.
Thanks very much.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate it.
That's the coach, Jeremy Colleton. Pretty mature perspective.
Absolutely. You can see why the Blackhawks kind of circled him and one of those guys that they kind of look out for.
I mean, it's stuff like we make our own luck.
Yeah.
That's I know you're a Cam Ward guy, but when you have a guy like Delia who's now, what, two, three wins?
Three wins, yeah.
Don't you? One of the jobs as a coach is you have to make that tough decision to say, let's go with a hot hand, especially when you're really up against it.
Yeah. There's also something to the point that he made. You don't want to overwhelm a kid who seems like he's ready for it because of the way he's played in the three games that he's played, as Coach Colleton pointed out. But you do have a guy in Cam Ward who has experience and has won a cup. So, I mean, the object is to win and to try to develop.
Yesterday.
Yeah, I thought he did, too.
He had a great game.
I don't think he's to blame for it at all. No. I mean, there's a lot of defensive lapses in front. And just what he said, the lack of energy.
Yeah, well, defending five power plays.
Yeah, five on three is not. Yeah, and 5-on-3 is
and
not.
And you knock down that 5-on-3. Yeah. You know baseball better than anybody. Mm-hmm. And I always think, we talked about this before, baseball organizations overthink this
they
to
do.
The nth degree. Oh, I can't expose our superstar to anything.
Yeah.
White Sox come to mind. Future superstars. So any chance we're overthinking it here?
I don't think you are, because I think it's a little different. It's a little different mind game when it comes to hockey, especially with the fact that you're that position. You're the goaltender. It's like you're the starting pitcher or whatever. I mean, that could be the analogy. I think there's the baseball thing is more money's involved. I have a feeling it's part of the issue.
Yeah, but you know what I think about Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Last year he watched. This year he's the best quarterback in football.
Now, I get it. I mean, and it's
you love Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. God, I love Patrick Mahomes. Love Patrick Mahomes.
What are you going to say when he gets bounced in the first round? When the
see ya.
It goes down to organizational philosophies and just what you know you have in certain guys, because these guys, the people that make the decisions, they know these players very, very well. They know their tendencies. They know what makes them tick, and that's really important.
And if Pete McMurray is listening, we just want Pete to know that's why you're watching, Pete. We're going to get you in here as soon as possible.
The I will say it was cool to see, like, Jonathan Toews put a picture up on Instagram of him hitting the play like a champion sign.
Yeah.
And you would think that they would be unimpressed, these superstars. He's been in everything, Olympics, Stanley Cups, you know, like, what would be a big deal? And they thought it was so special.
It's an amazing
to
place.
Be able to play at Notre Dame, where all these greats have played. Like, they, I think... I forget that they would be impressed by something.
What do you think about that? I mean, Lambeau.
Yeah,
you
know? Lambeau. Yeah.
Lambeau.
Stadium,
I'll be honest with you. Lambeau and the Notre Dame football stadium as buildings, they're kind of dumps. But having said that, they're nice dumps. Mm-hmm. And with all that history involved, these are not palaces. But you know when you're walking through, you're walking into a
museum.
We've
got one of those in Chicago. It's called Wrigley Field.
we talked about that yesterday.
Well, you know, Soldier Field. Yeah. Soldier Field's really nice now. Yeah. But... they basically took a shell on the outside, like one of those bathtubs, and put a shell on the outside.
You can renovate Wrigley all you want. You still got to go down into the basement to get nachos, and that's weird.
The I will say, because I interacted with a ton of our Blackhawks fans when I was there yesterday, which you can see those photos at WGNRadio.com. They are the nicest. We have the best fans. Yeah. They are, like, so kind. They were excited to be there. They were tailgating. They didn't care that it was cold, and they were just,
there's a great picture. I assume this is in your gallery.
It is in the gallery,
A great picture of literally the last two fans to leave the stadium. They were those two and you, and the only reason they left in their Hawk sweaters is because security said, you got to go now.
They made a big announcement over the PA that if you're not, you know, everybody has to leave because they're locking the gates, and so they were sending the...
Hey, Bob, here, right? Lucy, you got to go.
Let's go.
But yeah, they were Hawks fans, and they were taking a picture of the digital board because it said Happy New Year's Eve. Happy New Year's, and so I took a picture of them taking a picture.
But in the meantime, good news, no more outdoor games until the end of the year at the least.
At least, yeah.
Okay. A couple minutes before 9 o'clock, and run down of the Bear situation coming up leading into the playoff game on Sunday. By the way, I want to say hi to my friend Mark Jean Greco. What did you want to say about the Bears?
Oh, and no, it wasn't about the Bears. It was about Troy Murray.
What about Troy?
I love
Troy.
I know. I love Troy as well. And yesterday after the game, they have always these end-of-game stats, you know, the summary papers. And in this case, they were not going to have them down where the interview room was. And so my husband was doing a post-game show on the field, and he's...
I'd be Pat Boyle, NBC Sports Net.
And he said, can you wait and get me these sheets and bring us four down? Because it was Jamal, Adam Burrish, and Steve Conroy.
I don't work for you. I'm married to you.
Well, I know. So I did. So I grabbed four because that's how many I needed. And then I rode the elevator down with Troy Murray. And then Troy said, what do you got there? And I said, oh, the end of game stats. He was leaving. He goes, can I have one? And I was like,
can I have one?
I'm supposed to bring four to the set, and now I only... So I gave one. I wasn't going to not give it to him.
He's Troy Murray.
I come to the set with three, and Pat's like, I asked for four. And I was like, but Troy Murray asked me for one, and I got nervous, so I gave it to him. And so Adam didn't get his own. So it was a...
Poor Adam.
You take care of your teammate. You got to take care of your teammate.
I work for WGN, so I gave Troy one.
Yeah, but they're not leaning on Burrish for the... for tell me what was happening.
Oh, yeah, right?
The shots on goal.
Exactly. That's Pat's job.
Yeah,
one of the best parts about postgame was when Burrish called out Marshawn for not licking anybody.
That's what... Yeah, and that doesn't show up in the stats.
Not on the stat page. I don't see licks per game here.
So, Jan Greco. Greco, that is annual New Year's Eve Wang Dang Doodle. And I saw a bunch of stuff. They get crushed every year.
Yeah.
And let me say something. Those shows are really hard to do. And when you got 18 different remote locations and everybody's loud and everybody's screaming, frankly, I don't know why they take it on every year. Because it's really hard to put something entertaining on. I'm not saying it wasn't entertaining. I'm just saying it's hard to make it entertaining.
And they did that broadcast, though.
They
did
an open with Cheryl Scott and
Terrell Brown.
And Terrell Brown at the Lyric, where they learned this dancing, this highly choreographed dancing. They were great.
They were great. Now, what I couldn't understand, and maybe someone enlightened me, was that live or was that a taped into them being live? Because he came right out of it, and he stopped, and they're like, welcome to New Year's Eve Live. And I was like, wow, that's amazing.
It felt like it had to be taped, because I don't care how good shape you're in. They had to be out of breath, and they really weren't.
Mm. Right. Man, you'd be right.
But they did a great job. They did a really good job.
That was a really tremendous, tremendous accomplishment to be able to do that dance. And I'm a very cynical watcher of that show, and I like to revel in the train wreckiness of it, the whole thing. But to see, I was like, they were very impressive. Both of them were very impressive.
And the good news this year is Jean Greco didn't lick Janet Davies as he had in the past on the side of the face.
He dipped her at the end and then he dropped her.
Right.
It's a great broadcast. I think
himself.
My only note to the New Year's Eve production staff is more with the live, so you could see the people behind who are trying to get on camera.
Okay.
While the people are saying, we're here at the
Hilton. Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, you make a good point. Yeah, because that's it. I don't need to hear people go, we are having so much fun.
I don't need
It's New Year's Eve.
I don't need the taped bands and the performances that are not, that were for, I don't need any of that. I just need, get up there, two people, and say, we're having a lot of fun. Let's interview some people here. And like, I'm having a great time. That's the best thing. You get to see Chicago. That's train wreck city. Love it.
Look around a crowd, see two people fighting.
Yeah.
Go see what they're fighting about.
Yeah.
Right. It's 9:02. Let's get to the news now. And hi to everybody on CLTV. Glad to be back.
They've converted once on fourth down. They do not convert here. Incomplete for Stephon Diggs. Adrian Amos made the play and timed his hit with perfection.
Well, here we go. Bears playoff week. That's right. I said it. Bears playoff week.
It's got a great sound.
Every 8 years, whether we need it or not.
Oh, so great.
I imagine Justin was going nuts Sunday when he could not have a show on
Monday. He had
his
son Miles pour Gatorade over him.
Yeah, just to...
After the win.
Vitamin water. But
Justin really likes to go deep on Bears talk right after a win.
Right.
And there was no one... He wasn't doing a show
Next
day.
I knew that Adam Hoge was busy. But I was like, maybe I'll text Adam and just go back and forth about what I thought about the game.
Adam Hoge, sponsored by WOW Internet, TV, and phone. Hi, Adam. How are you? Do we have Adam?
He's on a fader.
Adam once. Adam twice. Let me try this one. Adam, are you with me? You've been listening to Adam Hoge.
Wow, bummer.
Sponsored by WOW Internet, TV, and phone.
What Adam would have said.
I will say this while we wait for Adam Hoge. The victory over the Minnesota Vikings.
I bet Justin cut his line so he could just talk about the Bears himself.
Was so satisfactory for a Bears fan because there's all this question, and it's because of what we lived. If you remember, when we went to the Super Bowl in 2006, 2007, we let the Packers beat us in the final game of the season. The Packers didn't make the playoffs that year, but remember, Rex Grossman got beat up, and it was like, we had a lot of confidence issues after that game, because you're like, I know we didn't play all the starters, but at the same time, and then the last time we went to the playoffs, we let the Packers beat us in the final game, and they came back in the championship game at Soldier Field and beat us. So for us to go in and take care of business with Matt Nagy and beat the Minnesota Vikings in a game that mattered to them,
wasn't even close.
Was great. Yeah, it was great, and that's how I like football played in Chicago, and Matt Nagy is the coach of the year.
It was Belichick-esque.
Yeah.
This is like, we're going to put this
I have so much confidence in that team, man.
And you know, the other thing that I think gets forgotten in this whole matter is taking care of business against just the division opponents, because they went 5-1 in the division. They swept Minnesota for the first time in like 7 years.
Let's say 6-0. That first game of the year, we won that game.
But that's a departure from what we've seen before.
We're efforting Adam Hoge. By the time we get him on, we're going to have all the information that he would have given us.
I mentioned there was that the Bears are a 6-point favorite opening up so far.
Adam Hoge, you with me?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Yes. You guys got me?
Would you like full diva on me? You couldn't show up on time? What happened?
No, I've been here. I just started doing the segment by myself, but apparently no one can hear me.
Nice.
Hey, Adam, right after a Bears game or a Northwestern game, when you're kind of doing all your post-game stuff, would you mind a bunch of texts from Justin about to rehash the game and strategy?
No, that'd be fine.
Would you answer any of them?
He's not going to answer them.
I'm not promising I'll respond.
Adam, one of my favorite moments of the Vikings game towards the end, and it became a running thing, gag with my friends that I was texting with, was that they had redone the stats on Stephon Diggs' 1,000-yard season. So he had that they said he got over 1,000 yards, and then they adjusted the stat and said he had 999. So the last three drives, he needed 1 yard to get there, and the Bears were stopping him. There was and he ended up getting it on one stupid little play, but that was what I cared about at the end of the game, stopping him.
If that's the only thing they were able to take out of that,
That stupid little play,
stupid plays.
Everything you guys just said, I totally agree with. I was actually worried about this game. I picked the Vikings to win. It actually the first time I picked against the Bears since I think week four, because I thought the Vikings would come out with a little bit more juice because everything that was on the line for them, they had to win to get in. And you know, I'm not sure that it was a matter of them not coming to play as much as it was just the Bears just stifling them throughout the game. You called it Belichick-esque. I mean, it did kind of feel that way where you sort of know what you're going to get from the Patriots every single week, whether they're on the road or at home. It's just they play the way they do. That's kind of what this Bears team has established. Like, they're going to stifle you on defense and just do enough on offense. That was a very, very impressive win on Sunday.
Well, and you look going forward after the Bears win the Super Bowl this year and are defending champs next year. You got quarterback issues in every other city.
Yep.
I mean, the Vikings. Yeah. The Vikings got to go into camp not knowing who their quarterback is. Packers have potential injury issues with their quarterback because they don't have an offensive line anymore. They just have a center. and in Detroit, I don't know what you have there. I mean, Matt Stafford's great, but would he get picked off 75 times this year?
Well, the same four quarterbacks are probably still going to be the quarterbacks next year in the division, but it does make you feel better about the Bears situation with Mitch Trubisky. Like, I don't know that you'd go into next year saying he's the second best quarterback in the division, but you can make that argument.
Well, if he wins the Super Bowl, for sure.
Well, yeah, and it's a
by the way, it's Trubisky.
Man.
I don't want you to keep getting that wrong. It's Trubisky.
I've been doing that all year.
Adam, this game solved or answered a lot of questions because there was questions about how the Bears would deal with a stressful game on the road. We saw that. But the other thing, too, was the running game. Every time we talked to you or talked to Hamp, it was about, where is this running game? What's happening? You saw Jordan Howard go off on the road against this very stingy Minnesota defense. What is it? I mean, as teams get ready to take on the Chicago Bears, what do they see as the weakness to this team?
Kicker? I mean, no.
It's true.
Yeah. You go up and down the roster, and they're at least fine at every position.
But you know what? You say kicker. I'm telling you right now, you don't want this to come down to a game-winning 45-yarder.
Well, and that's why I was being serious about the kicker spot. But, I mean, offense, defense, they're good at every position. Now, if you want to get in the kicker conversation, that is my biggest and easiest concern going into the playoffs, and it's a legitimate one. I mean, it's not something that we can just gloss over. This guy has been struggling all year. His percentage on the year is actually okay, but he's missed 10 kicks. Five of them have gone off the upright.
He knows it's a space in between.
Yeah,
right?
That's hard to do, too.
I was going to say.
And I've heard some people kind of say, oh, well, he's been close because he's missed by hitting the upright. The problem is, on those balls, they're drifting away. They don't look like he has any control of them. I'm not a kicking expert, but he cannot give you a sense of confidence going into the playoffs. And unfortunately, there's nothing you can do right now. Cody Parkey's going to be the kicker in the playoffs. There's going to be a big kick in one of these games. It may even be Sunday. And he's either going to make it and everyone's going to forgive him for the year, or he's going to miss it and we're going to be talking about possibly bringing Robbie Gould back in the
offseason. We're going to get Kevin Butler on before the week's up to talk about this. But the game has changed. The game has changed in regards to this. If you can't consistently make 45 and beyond, and I'm talking about 45 to 55. NFL kickers are expected to make 45 to 55 yarders now. Sure. Beyond 55, you can miss one once in a while. But 45 to 55, you better be locked in. And it's like golf. It's all between your ears. It's between your ears, and it's a repetition over and over and over again. And you just got to be ready, because if you get a good snap and you get a good hold, you better make it.
Yeah, and that's the concern, because it's clearly in his head. And I don't know how to get it out of his head. I don't know if you guys have any ideas, but you're right. Anything, especially inside 40. Like, you can't, if you're in the NFL making that much money, and he's making a ton of money for a kicker, everything inside 40 should be made. The entire season.
Yeah,
including
no mess.
I don't care they move the extra points back. Like, this is your job, to kick the ball. Unless, like, someone misses a block and your kick gets blocked and it wasn't your fault, that's different. But if the ball gets up in the air cleanly, it should go through the uprights inside 40 yards.
This is why we're bringing in
problem.
Scott Norwood as a backup. He's tanned, he's rested, and he's ready.
See, I would just tell him to go for the goalpost.
Aim for the right goalpost, yeah.
Yeah, because he may actually make it inside at that point.
Exactly.
See, Adam, I know that's one concern, the kicker, but I'm really concerned about the wide receivers that are all injured. Do we have enough depth there?
Yeah, well, here's what I'll tell you. They're all kind of dealing with something minor, but I think they'll all be out there on Sunday. Allen Robinson probably could have played last week. He's got a rib injury. He should be fine and back out there. The Anthony Miller thing, it's actually remarkable that that shoulder did not pop out again at any
creepy.
Point in the season.
Yeah.
That happened all the way back in week three. He's been dealing with that all season, and somehow he managed to not get it popped out the whole year. So he should be fine. He'll probably need surgery in the offseason, but this is something he can play through. And then same thing with Taylor Gabriel. It's ribs. They're just bruised. He'll be fine. These guys will play. And same thing with Kyle Long. They just sat him. They wanted to get him some reps on Sunday, but the plan wasn't to play him the whole game. He'll play the whole game in the playoffs here. And so the Bears are actually going to go in here really, really healthy.
That's I feel better now.
I don't want to get Andy in here, but one last point on the kicker.
Yeah.
You miss a big kick. It's not just a missed kick. You suck the life out of the team, and you put the defense now in a position where they got to, one, not kill you, and two, go out and play hard. The kicker's got to be kicker should never be an issue. Now, it's very cool that this is the major concern that the Bears have, but I'm concerned about it.
Yeah, talk to Ham about kickers. He just loves kickers. Adam, I'm curious about Matt Nagy, not as the X's and O's coach, but as the kind of mental coach in the building there at Hallis Hall. It seems like everybody you talk to there is just so at ease with this guy. And it's amazing, too, because he's in his first year as a head coach. And I know he took some things from other coaches that he has been under, like Andy Reid. But it's really hard to be the first you, let alone the second somebody else. How's he managed to do that?
Well, that's what I think has been so remarkable about what the job he's done this year and why he should be coach of the year. He has pushed the right buttons every single week. I think when you have and some coaches have success with just like, this is what we do, this is how we approach every single week, and nothing's going to change. But he's changed some things up here and there, like when they played three divisional games in 12 days, he kind of pulled that part of the schedule out and said, hey, look, let's just focus on this year. We're going to have to play three games in 12 days. Let's win them all. And then they had to come. Maybe that's why they maybe that's why they struggled the next game after that against the Giants. But he reeled them back in, and he's pushed all the right buttons down here down the stretch. So he's done such a good job. What I'm intrigued by is it's fair to bring up what happened last year in Kansas City in the playoffs. He really struggled in that second half from a play-calling standpoint. Now, that was only his fifth game ever calling plays. He's got a whole season under his belt now. He probably learned from that experience last year. But that is something to keep an eye on in this game. How does he call plays throughout the game? If they have a lead, can he protect it? Because last year, the Chiefs blew that lead. It's part of the reason why he became the Bears head coach a day later.
Yeah, and John, you have to remember which offensive lineman will be made eligible at a crucial time.
That's right.
John DeCasse, hi.
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Hey, John.
Better known as Racehorse to you, I think is what you remember.
Yeah.
Quick question. Kevin White, drafted when he should have been drafted. Everybody thought that. He's a 4-3 guy. Have the injuries depleted his skills, or is he – what's going on?
Well, here's the thing. Because the injuries certainly have derailed his career. I'm not convinced, though, had he never been hurt, that he would have been great. Because the problem is, when he has been healthy in training camps, and that's really all I can go off of, he's never really stood out in camp either. I'd go back to just this year, he's healthy again, and I'm out there in Bourbonnais, and I'm watching these practices, and the pads are on, so these are real, as close to live reps as you're going to get, and he's just not separating, and he's still dealing with drops. So that was kind of the moment for me where I'm like, you know what, even if he stays healthy, I just don't envision him being a big part of this offense this year, and that's kind of how it's played out. So maybe the injuries... Well, definitely the injuries have hurt his development. But just because you run a 4-3 and you're big and strong, we see it with wide receivers all the time in the NFL draft. It does not mean you're going to be good. There's just so much that goes into the position. It's a tough position, and it's a tough position to evaluate and project.
And
no
respect either, because there was a play in that game where he was definitely held, and there was a defensive pass interference, and they're like, well, you got to earn it, kid. They're not going to even give it to him. So
he did have that nice catch, though, and that was a good moment for him in that game. I mean... we just haven't seen that a whole lot from him. Unfortunately, it just hasn't worked out.
And we're not going to see him again.
Listen, I had a nice catch in high school. Nobody's still talking about that. Andy, last quickie. At least I am.
Yeah, you talked about the play calling. And you've reminded me a couple times that I've texted you out of frustration about the trickeration and the trick plays and how easy it is to get upset when they don't work, but yet compliment the heck out of them when they do. He doesn't seem like he really thinks he's going to change the way he's doing things, even for the playoffs, even after what happened last year.
No, and he's and I respect that from him. I mean, and he's made that very clear from day one when he came in. I mean, this is how it's going to be. And I still think people should remember is that sometimes they get frustrated with how aggressive he is and some of the trickeration. It was the complete opposite with John Fox. And how'd that work out? Because Matt Nagy's already won just as many games as Fox did.
Yeah, it's crazy.
In three
it's
years.
Amazing.
How about that?
So and
I mean,
you know,
I didn't know that.
I know.
That's crazy.
And that, isn't that crazy? And so it's working. And sometimes not every play is going to work. Otherwise, they wouldn't be trick plays. If they all worked, then they would just be normal plays.
Right, exactly. Right.
How many games did he win?
So, like, I've had people ask me, why does he keep doing this fire drill thing on the punts? Where, they, like, the guy, the whole team runs off the field, then the next team runs out, and then they just, you know, they got the delay of game the other day. Well, trust me, at some point in these next few games, assuming there's going to be more than one here, you're going to see why he's doing it.
Yep. Something's
going to work. Maybe it's a fake punt that works. There's going to be a reason. There's always an end to what he's doing out there. And I enjoy covering it, and I think fans should enjoy watching it.
Well, I've Hogue back before the end of the week to hold him down to a prediction, and we're bringing back Stump Adam Hogue. The people are demanding.
Clamoring.
So later in the week, Stump Adam Hogue. Good news for you, Adam.
Great news. I can't wait, guys.
9:29, we were talking about New Year's Eve shows, including our own. And again, thanks if you came out.
And that photo gallery is up at WGNRadio.com, Steve Cochran Show, Facebook, and Twitter.
You should thank Christy, too, right?
Yeah, Christy Vaccari.
Oh,
she's
Christy
amazing.
Vaccari got him in right away.
Mm-hmm. Steve Cochran Show photographer since 2012.
Not only did she get him right away, they're good photos.
She's great.
She's phenomenal.
She's great.
Because I don't want to say, I know you guys are all really good looking. So you don't really take bad photos, but sometimes it's hard with that kind of lighting to make people
look. You should play that back and hear how you said that.
Yeah, yeah.
They're action shots. Yeah, I get it.
You know what I mean? At 9:29, who do you think is worth more money, Anderson Cooper from CNN's New Year's Eve or Ryan Seacrest? Keep in mind, Anderson Cooper's mom is Gloria.
Gloria
Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Okay. Gloria Vanderbilt's your mom.
Yeah.
So we're talking total wealth, not just
net
for
worth.
The job.
Net worth.
Anderson
Cooper.
Oh, I thought you meant just got paid.
Anderson
that
Cooper
night.
Or Ryan Seacrest?
I'm still
by the way, they each made $1 million for those shows.
Okay.
I guess
Anderson Cooper.
I'll say Ryan.
I'm going Seacrest.
Yeah. I'm going Seacrest. Anderson.
Seacrest by a mile.
Yeah. What? He's got like 17 jobs.
Well, he executive produces the Kardashians and E News, too. So that just makes me think.
He's got two radio shows. Right. He's got two TV shows.
But
he's
he doesn't
a producer
have an
of shows that he doesn't have. Gloria Vanderbilt hasn't given Anderson Cooper a dime because she's still alive. Anderson Cooper's worth $110 million, which isn't bad.
Not bad at all.
It's not bad. I think he could get some dye for that hair. He's only 51. Ryan Seacrest, estimated net worth $340 million. And I'll remind you, once again, this is the same guy who I once said, yeah, I got to get to LAX. I don't have time
so
to talk.
With all that money, he can't afford an umbrella?
I know. He looks so weird with the wet hair. It looked like it was...
Everyone else
I
had an umbrella, and he was
him.
Like, on New Year's Eve...
You got to look stressed.
He said, no, I can't do it. I am going no umbrella. That's my look.
Yeah, that's what the people are doing.
Look.
That's what the people are out there.
Jenny McCarthy's, her hair extensions were all wet. Yeah. She was no umbrella at some points of the night.
It was a weird choice. For Ryan Seacrest. I like what he does, but...
And here's a shocker. Steve Harvey did New Year's Eve on Fox. Thank God he's finally on TV.
And he had an umbrella.
Right, and he was indoors.
He didn't even have hair.
It was indoors. 9:31. We need a break for the headlines. Let's do that. We'll come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Interesting lack of response from President Trump this morning on Mitt Romney.
He got a tweet in there.
He's got one in him.
I know.
That's it.
One. 2019.
And he said worse things about General Stanley McChrystal, an actual war hero. You can argue with McChrystal on, you know, what he did to Obama and the way he comported himself, but... I believe that the president's summation of Stanley McChrystal over the weekend was his big stupid mouth. When he's talking about Romney, he backed down. I don't know what the deal is. One other tweet that just came in, Mexico's paying for the wall. No, they're not. Mexico's paying for the wall through the new USMCA trade deal. No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works.
Even if that were how it works, that hasn't been approved by Congress yet, so there's no money there yet.
Much of the wall has already been funded I'm sorry, much of the wall has already been fully renovated or built. Well, what do we need all the money for then, if you're all good?
Is it like an IKEA wall? Like, you get it there, and then you have to, like...
And they got
to
buy Allen wrenches.
Oh, man.
If I can just get an extra $5.6 billion, we can wrap this up by the weekend. The Democrats take over tomorrow. So, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats in the House. And it'd be nice if they were more grown up than the Republicans, who couldn't have been bigger creeps in the House. But I'm holding my breath. We'll see when she gets the gavel, and no, that's not code. I have a list here of the 25 worst passwords people used last year. We're not going to go through a bunch of, you know, lists that were already done because we're hipper than that. But some of these are just stunning to me. I mean, they really are. Number one again this year, far and away. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I know it's kind of hard to remember passwords, which is why you do a password locker, which is no effort at all. Like, I have 199 passwords or something. They're all under one word.
You should tell everyone this morning when you came into the studio, you did announce to everyone, does anyone remember my password?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I hadn't logged into work email in 2 weeks. I totally forgot.
Right.
All right. Now, here is somebody at number 25 that thought they were getting it done. QWERTY. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, nice.
What's QWERTY? Top line of your keyboard.
Yeah.
Number 22, I should say. Because there are several ties in here, so we'll jump forward. Number 22 is AA. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I love the idea that somebody thought AA would set them apart. Hey, the hackers, never going to get it now.
Okay.
AA. Number 21, Charlie. Just Charlie.
Okay.
Just the word Charlie.
I feel like that's a movie. Like, that sounds like a military movie. Oh, yeah, Charlie Apple, like one of those. And so they go with Charlie.
Number 20. Exclamation point, at sign, pound sign, dollar sign, percentage sign, little up arrow, and sign, and asterisk.
So, oh, yeah, that's
yeah,
the
they're all in a row.
Yeah, yeah, a little shift key.
Number 19, 654321.
Hang on, is little up, is that the name of that sign?
I don't know what that's called.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It sounds like
a little arrow up. I don't know what it's called.
Like a rapper. Little up.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for little up.
Yeah.
I want to know if somebody knows what that is, the little triangle or what it looks like, a Christmas tree.
Little carrot, right?
Carrot?
Yeah.
It's called a carrot?
I think so.
I like little up better, but
number 18,
advance up, I thought.
Number 18, worst password, monkey.
Monkey?
Monkey.
Okay. Monkey.
Number 17, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
How did they administer this poll? Are they calling people like, what's your password? Well, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Like, how are they getting this information to put a top
25? What are the 25 top 25
passwords?
Social
actually have a
numbers.
Hacker hack all the passwords.
Yeah, right.
And then curate them. Number 14 is the only Satan reference here. 666666.
Yeah.
Number 13 is welcome. Number 12 is admin. Number 11 is princess. Number 10, I love you. And again, these are all stated by hackers to be the easiest, most hackable passwords.
Hey, just so you know, Andy is right. It's called a carrot.
Why is it called a carrot?
C-A-R-E-T.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay. Number 9 is QWERTY. Number 8 is sunshine. Number 7 is way different than the number 1 password. Number 7 is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Number 6 is 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Number 5 is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Number 4 is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Number 3 is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Stop it.
I'm not kidding. These are it.
You're making these up.
No, I'm not. And the number 2 dumbest password, right after 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, is password.
Password. I wonder about that.
Your password's password.
I like being clever with my password.
We have a listener from the 847 that said he and his brother were talking about this over Christmas when they first got their ATM cards 20 years ago, and how they both looked at each other and thought, how are we ever going to remember 4 numbers?
Right. Right. I think I told you this. I have a friend who got mugged in New York City, and he had a guy with a gun to the back of his head at an ATM, and he said, give me everything your ATM, you know, spit out. Couldn't remember his code because he had a gun on him.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Yeah, I think it's 4-3-2-4-2. Just give me one more second before you shoot me.
Let me go in notes.
Right. Cop came by, and the guy ran. Otherwise, it could have ended very badly.
That's terrible.
But for those of you confused about the password locker thing, it sounds like a daunting process. It's really not. I mean, I use a thing called Keeper for you hackers that are listening. But there's a million of them, and they're free. And you simply have one word, one password that controls your entire list of passwords. Now, you've got to enter them.
But, you know, I know people who've got 10 passwords, right, and they write them down on a piece of paper. I mean, it's just not a good idea.
It's like Lord of the Rings. One password to rule them all.
Yes. Yes. And I'll be giving out my one password before 10 o'clock for the password.
Eighth caller.
Who, yeah. Does anybody use it? Hey, Rudy, you got to use a password locker?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Do you really? You're lying.
No, I have to. Jackie set it up. My wife set it up.
Because Safari on Mac, they have a place where it stores it at a keychain.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is have either a password to get into that if you forget something. Or
same concept. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And?
I have a system, not a locker.
No, this guy does not. He's Mr. Forward Thinking is also behind the times in a lot of.
What do you mean? You have a system?
I have a system.
You got to have 100 passwords.
No, I have a system in my passwords, not unlike an NFL offense, like a quarterback that would call it out. It's the same concept. I just do it with my passwords.
So, your password's for Omaha.
Yeah. So my
none of my passwords are. Yeah, so I don't have a password locker, but I know my passwords.
So it's pass protection, then the play, and then the route?
The same thing. Okay.
Well, you're going to get hacked.
Well, no, but some of them have different characters and things. Yeah.
But the key is, listen, I haven't done much hacking, but every hacker I've ever heard, seen, or read says, if I get one, I'll get them all.
Yeah, yeah. Right. You won't get these.
Unless they're all different.
Yeah. They're all different.
I do. I have four specific ones, and like my Instagram password is nowhere near the same as my bank password. You know, like I'm smart enough in that.
Well, I know Mary Vandeveld loves technology, so I'm guessing you're on this password locker.
I'm not divulging any information because I am terrible with
it. Let me ask you a question.
I don't have a locker.
Is your passwords across any digital platform of any kind, bank accounts, everything, are they all the same password?
No. But they're a version of like three different ones.
were any of them mentioned on that list?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Actually, one of them was, but it's a work-related password that I did not assign.
Okay.
So it was somebody in the technological field that actually assigned that stupid password.
So, well, I would say if any of them are Charlie, don't use that one now.
No.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's 9:53. Ryan's in the newsroom. He'll have the full. You know what he'll have? He'll have the kit and caboodle. It's a broadcasting term. He'll have the full kit and caboodle.
I thought when you guys were talking about passwords, I thought you were talking about the new Kanye West Kim baby name. Because did you hear? Number 4 on the way?
Oh, no.
No, I didn't know.
She's going to spawn again?
Wait, but well,
probably a surrogate because she had issues with
surrogate
first time.
Oh. Yep. Coming up in May, we know it's a boy. So when you guys were talking about all your passwords, I actually thought those would be good names for child number 4.
It's got to be
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah. It has to be like Kenneth. It's a K.
Yeah, but I've tried to get legislation for mandatory sterilization of all our Kardashians at this point, and so far I can't get any traction on
it. The Kardashian kids are... North Chicago.
Oh, that's right.
And then there's another one.
Waze. W-A-Z-E. That's one.
Yeah, the new name's going to be Calumet City.
With
Calumet Heights.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Saint is the other one.
Saint.
Thank you, man.
So it's North Saint, and what's the other one?
Chicago. Which I had a real big problem with. I don't like that.
Next one's going to be Park. Ridiculous. Park West.
Now, I think they'll throw a complete curveball and go Steve.
Right? It would be cool. It would be cool as Bob.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bob Fred. Kardashian.
Dave. No, it's West. West is the last name.
There you go.
Bob West.
That's not good.
Who's the guy that played Robin? Wasn't his name
Adam West? Adam West was Batman.
Batman.
Yep.
Or Batman.
I was talking about this in a year in review. You know who the richest Kardashian is? Kylie.
Kylie, yeah.
Kylie.
900 million plus.
The model one?
No.
Oh, that's Kendall.
No, that's Kendall. One. I get them mixed up.
Why? Oh, Kylie's a model, too.
Why? Yeah.
Cosmetics.
She's the lip. Oh. She's, if you ever, the lip kits makes your lips swell.
Is she 21, 22 years old?
Yeah, she might.
Just. Is she the...
She's the one with the baby, the new baby.
Yeah.
Well, they all have a new baby, except one.
900 million plus.
Yeah, I need a program to tell that's, you know...
Why are we talking about...
Scorecard.
I just wonder...
Ryan brought it up.
Kylie. I just wonder, at any point, does she go up to Kim and go, thank you so much for making the sex tape? Because if she doesn't make the sex tape, and if mom doesn't help monetize the sex tape, then the Kardashians don't explode
and
everything that comes from it.
I don't get it.
$900 million.
Her whole family owes her big time for that.
Right.
Side note, I just put out a sex tape. So,
side note.
Well, let's pause for a second and think of which of our siblings has made sex tapes. Fortunately, in my case, it hasn't happened.
That's a, there's a listener here saying how it's creepy that their iPhone has face recognition for their passwords.
Yeah.
My sister has that iPhone, and she was doing a mask, you know, a beauty mask, and it, the phone wouldn't recognize her face.
I have a the story I read not about a week ago is that police are working on their 3D technology, like you could do the 3D printer, to be able to scan faces to fake an iPhone to open it. Meaning that that's the next thing we're going to have to deal with is that 3D printing gives you the ability to scan a face, and so then they can use that face to open iPhones they need to be opened.
I was just thinking about if,
that's
if,
nuts.
If, if they used a 3D printer to do Steve's head. The wax involved.
Well, it's interesting you said that because I have a new Surface Pro 6, and it's got that, that scanning ability to open it, but I use Bill Leff's face.
There you go.
Bill and Wendy are back, by the way. They're coming up here in just a second. We need one more break before the top? No? Okay, we're good to go.
All right.
All right, so again, we did
this. Kardashian talk. Can we do more Kardashian talk?
Okay, well, we did this at the top of the show. We went around the room, and everybody talked about the weekend.
Yeah.
And the break. Did we miss anybody? I'm just catching up now. Andy, did we talk about your week?
We did not, but I was here most of the week, which was fine.
Andy got a new car.
It was fun. I got a new auto. Yeah.
What'd you buy?
I got a little Tucson.
He can start it from wherever, he was telling us.
Yeah,
you can start it from wherever. He could be in Iowa and start it somewhere.
Well, Ryan.
Got a lap.
I was excited about his new car.
Come on, man. You got to get I know you got 14 kids, Ryan, but you got to get yourself a new car. They all do that now.
First time in 10 years I've had a new car.
Well, good for you. Good for you. So apparently we're paying you too much.
No, this is from other interests.
You're here for Dave Ennett. Dave Ennett will be doing basketball
later. Somebody gifted him a car.
No. I paid for this car.
Did you win it?
Did
you get a big bow on it like they do in those commercials?
I asked for the bow. They had one in the showroom, but they wouldn't give it to me.
It costs money.
I know.
Yeah, they're expensive. You don't want that's a kind of a waste.
It was really windy that night, too. I didn't want it to blow in the windshield.
Would you invite Bill and Wendy in since we're going to go straight to the top?
They are not invited. I'm not invited.
Come on in, you guys.
Isn't that one commercial ridiculous where they have the two gifted cars to each other?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, who does
you know
that?
What I like about that is the woman is not appreciative at all.
No. She just runs out the door.
She runs out, she picks a truck, it's mine.
I got
it, it's mine.
It's mine.
Guy couldn't get away with that.
The guy likes red, though. He likes red.
It's mine.
It's mine.
This person's phone doesn't, from the 209, the ex phone doesn't recognize their face without the glasses.
That's the thing. If I have the screen even tilted slightly in a different direction, it'll go, cannot recognize
really?
You, and it shuts down.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard to.
Now, can you put multiple faces in? So, like.
Yeah, like I'll do sad Steve, happy Steve, frowny Steve.
But can Maureen use it?
No. Nope. It's got to be me. So, or Abigail.
Abigail.
She has access to all the
things. So I saw there's in the photo gallery of your New Year's Eve show that's at WGMradio.com. There is a picture of a picture you showed on stage of Maureen and Abigail.
Yeah, very cute.
That was a showstopper, I assume.
It was big, yeah. I said it's Abigail and her hot grandma.
Her hot grandma.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope everybody else had a great New Year's and a great Christmas. Bill, how was your break?
Pretty good, Steve. I got what I thought was the John DeCoste sex tape, but it was an episode of Babar. Did you ever see that show?
Babar, yeah. Isn't that Babar?
Is that one B or two?
No, Babar is something. This is Bob Barr.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a total different thing. What did you get for Christmas? What do you get, Bill, left for Christmas?
Toys.
You
got a lot of toys.
But how do people know what to buy you? Because you're a collector and you have certain... I mean, I wouldn't buy Leonardo da Vinci a painting. How do I buy you a toy?
It's not that difficult. They just ask me what I want. And
so
I tell
you had
them,
a list?
Yeah.
And, what did you want this year?
The Hogwarts Castle from Lego.
Hey, who doesn't?
Isn't that incredible? It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
There's a PlayStation 4 game called Bendy and the Ink Machine. I wanted that. I got that.
Bendy and the Ink Machine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, do you keep the... Is that a preservation toy, or is that just a toy you're going to play with? PlayStation game.
Oh, no, I'd play with that. Yeah, yeah.
I do have to say, and you may know this, but we got the Spirit house, the dollhouse, the Spirit house.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. From the show Spirit, the ponies.
Yeah.
And disappointing.
Why? Disappointing why?
Just not great quality. I felt
is
like
that true?
It was IKEA that put it together, you know, so.
That's not going to work.
There was missing parts, and there was a whole thing, but not a great dollhouse.
Oh, that's sad.
Wendy, how was your holiday?
It was pretty fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
I got a
rather
new
than the love of your family.
Wet Tunes shower radio.
Oh, nice.
So I can listen to you while I'm showering.
I like how we've taken that to the next level. Well,
she also got a really thoughtful gift that I saw on Facebook.
Which one?
From your mother-in-law?
My mother-in-law saw a post that I made on Facebook. I liked this wire Christmas tree at a place out in Paw Paw, Illinois. I know. It's
she drove to get it?
Rita's wow. Restorations. My mother-in-law saw that I liked it, and she tried to wrap it because it was this big wire tree, and she kept saying, you know what it is. You know what it is. How would I know what it is? I opened it up. I still didn't get it, and she said, yeah, I drove cool. all the way out
that's
there.
That's great. That's nice.
It's very cool.
An hour and a half away to get it.
Did your in-laws get you anything?
No. Nothing.
No. All right, good. Good talk.
Fine. Either.
Ryan standing by. He's going to do the stories that matter and none of the other ones. He's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We'll come back tomorrow here on WGN Radio. When do you guys want to start your own show?